Joe Rogan Podcast, check it out.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night, all day.
This episode is brought to you by Hostage Tape. First of all, what a great name. This is a product that I use, and I started using long before it was an ad. Your sleep game is about to get a whole lot better, kids, because I want to introduce you to Hostage Tape. Put simply, it is tape for your mouth. But you're probably wondering why you should even need that. Well, if you're a mouth breather, if you snore a lot, or if you suffer from sleep apnea, this could make a big difference. This mouth tape can reduce or eliminate snoring and apnea, and at the same time, it'll help filter the air going to your lungs, increase your oxygen uptake, and improve circulation, which will make you feel more energized. It has tons of other benefits, too, like it helps with bad breath, dry mouth, and of course, better sleep. For you and your partner, don't let bad sleep hold you hostage. Shut your fucking mouth with Hostage Tape. Buy it today and get a special buy two, get one free offer. That's a 90-day supply. Just visit HostageTape.com/Rogan. That's HostageTape.com/Rogan. I need a new theme song.
It's time?
Yeah. 600 episodes, I think it's...
Yeah, but you haven't had that for the first 100.
Yeah, whatever.
But still, 500.
500.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it's great. I love it. I used to like the.
Tell Nick Diaz that if he doesn't win, then you got to get a new theme song.
I will never take his voice off the theme song. We'll do a new theme song and we'll incorporate his voice. That was one of the coolest moments of my life. Are you kidding me? Nick Diaz wins. He's got his hands up in the air. He's like, "Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day." I was like, that's the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. Next to the birth of my children. It's right up there.
Wow.
So we're all here because we're friends, and this is an intervention, Duncan.
I
know you thought this was a podcast.
Stop masturbating.
You're gonna have
to. I'm not gonna stop, man.
Because Ari, tell them about the demons. Tell them what happens.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this. When Jews know that when people masturbate, they're actually fucking a demon that's on top of you.
Yeah.
That you can't even see. When you come, it comes into her belly and you have demon babies.
The only way to get the Jews out of my body is to jerk off Jews.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, wait a minute. The only way to get the Jews out of your body
the
is to jerk off...
The demons out of my body.
Oh, you have to...
Anytime, like, sometimes I get possessed by demons and they swell up in my chest and they cause my penis to expand and to change shape. You know what I'm talking about? When
yeah,
the demon gets inside of you, it
inside
makes
your penis?
Yeah, and your
penis
takes, change
shape, yeah.
changes shape. It's very strange.
I've seen that.
Becomes like the Stay Puft Marshmallow guy.
Yeah! So you get demons too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
when these
I
things come,
during sexy movies.
The only thing that gets the demon out is if I jerk off a Semitic man.
Oh.
And then when I do that, I see the demon come out of my penis in the form of this white, salty substance.
And then it goes back to normal? Your penis?
No, it stays like...
Crazy. Stays aggressive.
Yeah.
It's always screaming, howling at night.
So we're here.
This is not happening. Nice. The new show on Comedy Central. Ari Shaffir, officially a baller, just had his new Comedy Central Hour special.
Yeah.
Paid regular.
Friday.
That was the coolest shit, man. The Comedy Store was tweeting photos of the, and Red Band tweeted some too, of the patio, the filled patio.
Everybody out there
watching your special on TV while you were performing in the OR.
That was the craziest picture. Jeff Scott showed me a picture
ever,
of you on stage, live at the store and on stage.
And my special was from that same stage.
Yeah,
and you know what's even cooler? If people come to see you now, I think your new material now is some of the best shit you've ever done.
Well,
it's
thanks,
right
Joe
up there
Rogan.
With the best bits you've ever done. The new shit that you're doing now, the stuff you did in Vegas, it's fucking great, man. It's really funny shit. Without
thanks.
Telling
I got
anybody.
Like 8 of it.
What'd you say? You got 8
got
minutes?
About 8 minutes of that.
That's all right, dude. Just keep swinging, you know? I'm like at about 40 right now. It's but it's 40 that I don't know it that well.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, it's now it's still ever evolving. Like we used to say, Jarvis, his friend Jarvis, my friend too, Jarvis. He used to say that bits were like cooling metal or cooling honey. So it was like real fluid. And then as it gets cooler, it takes like more and more shape until it becomes like the same thing every time.
That's cool.
Yeah. Remember that?
I don't remember.
You told me when
you
were a talent coordinator, you told me that.
That's an interesting way to look at it. I've always felt that they grow though. I always felt that they're a living thing and they become sturdy. Like they start off as like little saplings and they're like, oh, sometimes they look impressive and sometimes they come out, they're fucking trees. There's certain bits that I've done that were already a tree before they ever got to the stage. Like the vegan bit that was just on my last special. I wrote that bit all after one conversation.
Did you name that bit Jamie Kilstein? To Jamie Kilstein with love.
No. Jamie Kilstein, believe it or not, even though he talks a lot about being a vegan, he's not preachy about it. And he also admits that he ate a lot of meat. He's a bad example of that. Jamie Kilstein gets a bad rap. And part of it is because the conversation that he and I had on the show, but...
What was that conversation? I don't remember.
If he's
that.
Out there listening, Jamie Kilstein, I think you're a good dude. I really do. I think he's a genuinely, like, what he's trying to do, he genuinely thinks he's doing, like, really good things. And he's just, it was about the Daniel Tosh rape thing. You know, Daniel Tosh made that joke where he asked the audience what they wanted to talk about. Some guy yells out rape. And Daniel Tosh starts saying, like, oh, yeah, what a great subject. Like, what's so funny about rape? Is it the humiliation? Is it the violence? Some woman says, actually, nothing is funny about rape. And he goes, wouldn't it be funny if five guys just raped her right now? Like, and it became this big... So, I mean, first of all, that's the kind of shit that happens at a goddamn comedy club.
Yeah.
You know, we all know that. And the guy's just trying to be funny while he's on his toes on a stage in the spur of the moment.
Yeah, to me it's like a non-issue. Like,
yeah, so Jamie and I disagreed with it heavily because he felt like it's lazy and he felt like it contributed to rape culture, which is a term that like gets bandied about. It's a weird term. You know, some people think it's a horseshit term. You know, there is no rape culture.
It's a real thing. That's why if you see the Indian comics from India and stuff, they're super rape jokey. And it comes out in their consistent
Are you
gang
kidding?
Rapes. No, that's all. That's pretty much like all our comics. Just talk about rape and gang rape, and then it really bleeds into the culture.
He's fucking with us.
No Indian comics.
What about Russell Peters? What are you talking about?
Canadian.
What about Aziz Ansari?
He's fucking from Houston.
Dude, they're Indians. How
no,
dare
I mean
you?
India.
They're brown as fuck.
There are Indian comics.
There must be. For
I
sure.
don't know. I just
do they have a scene? You think out
be.
There?
Must they? There's
they have a
be
giant movie industry there. All so the,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Their movie industry is bigger than our movie industry.
Super porny, right? Isn't there always long sex scenes?
If you consider juggling fruit and singing in between a gunfighting scene, porny.
Because
like
stuff.
All their movies still have like musical numbers yeah. where like they will start in the middle of a real action movie. When I went to India, we would like we would take Valium and go to this movie theater in New Delhi and just watch their movies because they're so trippy. But yeah, in the middle of like an action movie, it'll stop into a musical number that
wow.
like a real serious action movie.
Why? It's just their culture.
They like it.
They like it.
They like that style of
that's just what it's supposed
theater.
To be.
Well, I mean, we used to like it. I mean, if you go back and try to watch those old
Oklahoma.
Movies. Well,
something
all
like
those
that.
Like Gene Kelly movies that would start dancing in the
oh,
street.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody would stand there and people would dance around them.
Yeah.
I mean, they had music videos that broke out in the middle of a movie.
Oh,
so they have all these plots.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, yeah, they have all these plots. They have real language. They have real dialogue. They have a real storyline.
It's so weird, though, when you see it. Like, why is there singing? They wouldn't be singing.
Never.
What are they talking in rhyme? Yeah, what are you talking about?
Well, it's the one person's desire in the middle of a gigantic performance where people are interacting with each other. It's one person's desire to totally steal the spotlight. And the best way to do that is by singing.
Yeah.
And everybody has to stand around and listen while John, like, we're all, like, support. We're in the
right.
back, and John's in the center. He's singing.
We're snapping.
And, yeah, and he's got this great point, and we're all like, wow, yeah. And he's singing about life. And everyone's letting him move around.
John's singing about life.
Nobody stops and go, what are you fucking doing, man? Like, why are you singing? Like, nobody interacts with him. There's no interacting. It's just this one guy. Which is what the theater, to some folks, is all about. That moment on stage, holding the skull. Look upon thee!
That reminds me, man. I got a $1 million idea.
What's that?
Found footage musical. Like, you know how those found footage movies, but they find one where, like, people are actually singing?
Like a real musical.
Yeah.
No music is playing. They just start singing.
Yeah, like, what the fuck are they doing?
Everybody stands around. That would be great. Yeah. Really bad songs.
But, like, this choppy video. Yes. Like, oh, he's not really getting it. It's totally happening right now.
I got a great idea to do with it. An improvised musical reality show.
Oh,
it's all improvised cool. musicals.
But they gotta do it in
That's
song
a great
and
idea.
Dance. Mm-hmm.
That's a yeah. great idea.
You gotta bring them into a situation.
Big Brother, it's song.
That's hilarious.
And the audience doesn't know, so they have to. They're people are gonna interact with them.
Reality.
So they have to sing out to this like restaurant or bar. Yeah. Have you ever seen the video? There's a video with this bringing you back to activists that sometimes miss the point. There was a video of this lady. She steps into a chicken restaurant and she starts talking about, this is not food, this is violence. Yeah. You know, and there's a little girl, and her, you know, she starts saying, and she just wants to live. She just wants to be happy and she just wants to live. And this little girl was going to die just like all of her sisters and all of her brothers and her family.
Turkey? A chicken?
A chicken.
Ah.
And she rescued this chicken. And so she has like videos of the same gal with her chicken at home. You know, it's like, so she goes into a restaurant and disrupts all these people and like tells this whole story and then explains that it's her, you know, her chicken. And then a whole crew of assholes come in behind her with signs. This is not food. It's violence. Hmm. I mean, it's so weird.
And they're like, dude, we're just running a restaurant.
Dude, it seems like a parody. It seems like someone is just badass. Some Tim and Eric type dude.
Really?
Just put together some badass parody that's so subtle, you're like, not sure.
Right.
Like, is this bitch really this crazy that she's referring to this chicken as her girl?
Yeah, it seems sometimes that, like, activists aren't aware of the fact that if their stunt isn't pulled off in the right way, it seems like it could be more detrimental.
It comes off super lame.
Of course.
You know, like people will, the response is going to be to eat more chicken. Just because you're like, I don't want to be associated with this kind of behavior. And if that means eating chicken, then I guess I'll eat more chicken. So it's like, it's dangerous to be an activist if you are not really subtle or if you aren't skillful in what you're doing. Like being an activist is awesome. Just make sure that you're graceful when you do it.
Well, not only that, you have to have a real objective sense of what actions you're putting out there and how those actions are going to be perceived.
If you fake it, people can see through it and it seems lame.
Well, there's some people that have this idea that their idea, what they're protesting against is more important than anything that's going to disrupt, anything that's going to involve that, like Greenpeace. Have you seen what Greenpeace did with the Nazca lines?
Oh, yeah, they fucked
them
up.
It's so fucking crazy. Yeah. These dumb assholes went to the Nazca lines and they set up a Nazca lines are these, they don't even know how old they are, okay? They're thousands of years old, these lines. Meanwhile, I'm like, they don't even know how old they are. They're thousands of years old. I think they've dated them.
You just revealed that you're an immortal.
What are they?
They've dated
animals?
Them to more than 1,000 years, whatever it is. It's
animals?
They're all sorts of geometric patterns, animals, all sorts of different things. Some of them are animals. Some of them are spiders. They're all these weird patterns you can only see from the sky. So they're patterns that are in, they're patterns that are made on these like flat planes. And some of them are just a bunch of rocks that are pieced together in these lines.
Yes.
And people have left them undisturbed because they're so cool forever. So you can't just go there and walk around on them. You can't fuck. These assholes went there and they used some of the stones as like paperweights. They picked some of the rocks off the ground.
Why did they go
to
there?
To put a sign up. This fucking stupid.
Put a sign up what?
A Greenpeace sign.
Oh.
See that? Pull it. Do you got a photo of it, Jamie? Pull it up.
What dicks?
Yeah, it's so douchey and arrogant.
It sucks because a lot of what Greenpeace does is really good, which is they stop people from killing whales.
Remember when
lines
we beat the
shit out of Nazca? Just there's photos, Jamie. Go to photos. Greenpeace Nazca lines.
Duncan, remember we beat up a seal outside of a Prada store for Greenpeace.
So look what these assholes did. See how cool that design is. That pattern. That pattern has been there for
that just
a
naturally happened in the
time.
Oh, right. And they were using stones from that to put their sign down.
What's that about? With the foot thing, so they weren't disturbing people?
I don't know what the fuck they think they're doing. They're still disturbing it by doing that. Like, sometimes standing on that. Look, your fucking footprints are also on that paper. I could see the bottom of your tread. You know what that means? That means you stood on that shit. You stood on that shit somewhere, and I'm supposed to believe that you're doing this all ethically?
Yeah,
and you're
backfired.
Not up
it
the
backfired.
Lawrence?
They shouldn't have done that. It backfired, and that sucks because all the people who are doing good work look like assholes now.
Exactly.
That sucks.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the actual.
Wow. Like, those are the lines like that.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
What makes them?
We don't know.
That's so cool.
They don't know who made them. They really don't know.
That shit. Wow, that's not just like movement, like a magnetic movement, right?
Oh no. These are made. Yeah, I mean, someone definitely, without a doubt, made.
Is that in sand or is that in stone?
This is so funny. Some people think the geometric ones could indicate a flow of water that's connected to rituals to summon water.
Hmm.
The spiders, birds, plants could be fertility symbols. Other possible explanations include irrigation schemes or giant astronomical calendars.
Why isn't everyone trying to figure it out? That looks like a bird.
Yeah, well, they're definitely trying to figure it out. There's a dog. There's a monkey.
What?
Have you seen the monkey?
No.
Yeah, pull up the monkey, Jamie.
They're so good.
There's a dick
butt. There's a spider.
Spider. Dick butt. Well, that looks like, what's his name?
If you keep scrolling, you'll find a monkey down there. There's a monkey in one of them. It's really cool. It's got like there's birds with like bird feet and shit. There's a gang of them.
How did Bill Cosby and ecstasy get mixed in with that? It's weird to see the images.
Hashtags. People hashtag everything.
Hashtag Bill Cosby just like.
Well, do you remember when they used to do that with websites? They would code certain words into websites. It's like a person that people.
Porn, funny, funny.
Yeah, people think it's an alien, that thing, that person with the eyeballs.
Oh, click on that. Whoa.
Yeah, but that's how my daughter draws people.
Yeah.
So, so everybody says it's an alien. It's an alien. Well, maybe.
Maybe it also might be a 2-year-old. Did that Star Trek once?
Might be a giant 2-year-old. It
might be really shitty artists.
Yeah. For thousands of years, the shitty artists of the Ferengeti.
Like, I had this conversation with this dude who was trying to tell me about, you know, these images that were on cave walls were you know, aliens, depictions of aliens. I'm like, it was Graham Hancock, who I love. But I was like, come on, man, that might not be an alien. That could be a lot of shit. These people, they
want to believe.
But not only that, but it was thousands of years ago. Just what they saw back then.
Like, I think it was aliens.
That's when they fucked us.
Pull up the monkey, Jamie. I need to see this monkey.
I want to see the thing before.
Type in monkey, because it's really cool. It's got a curly tail. It's crazy.
Wait, go down a little bit. Go down a little bit. Down more. Stop. Up a little. Forget it. It's gone. I forgot it.
There was a dog to the left. Do you see that one to the far left, Jamie? About three down? Oh, it's okay. Just let's try to find the monkey.
Where's that monkey?
Where's the fucking monkey,
come
man?
Come on. Why are they hiding the monkey from us? No.
Well, if you go to the Wikipedia, you can see the monkey.
How do you
look,
spell
here's
that?
The
NASCAC?
Monkey.
Oh, Nazca. Wow. Cool. Nazca.
Here it is. Ari, see that?
See looks that, like Jamie? It's puking or
it's
something.
It's on the Wikipedia, if you go to the Wikipedia. Look at the monkey,
oh,
man.
That way.
Yeah,
how big is that? How
there
big
it
is that? How
look,
big
you
is
can
that?
See it there. Oh, it's huge.
Wow.
It's enormous.
Like, how big is a person? A toe?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a very good question. But they're really big. Wow. I mean, you see when those people were walking around. I mean, these are like, you know.
Oh, right. They were laying that
it's
down.
Weird. It looks like it was drawn, like, with a finger on a tablet or something. It doesn't look like a shit ton of people spent a long time.
Look, the tail kind of wore out.
They've had some damage with mudslides, too, apparently. Oh. Yeah, there's all sorts of explanations
for
that.
So nobody
what
they goes
are.
There. They just look at it.
Yeah.
And then the Greenpeace people went there.
Aliens came, visited these people, gave them, like, showed them some incredible shit. They left. The people want them to come back. So they draw these shapes on the ground, hoping that they'll return. It's classic cargo cult behavior.
That's where it all is, right? In the same place in Peru?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just one area. It's really fascinating also because there's what look like landing strips there.
Yeah.
These long parallel lines.
They want them to come back.
That's what it is. That's got to be that.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
They want them to come back.
It's got to be. It doesn't have to be. It could be they just, you know, they just figured out how to draw shit in the ground that you could see from the sky. Maybe they just thought it was an interesting way to do something.
That they couldn't see.
Well, they could. They just couldn't see it really well. You know, you can only really truly see what it is when you're up above it. But, I mean, it's not impossible that they could measure it and do it all on the ground. I'm just proposing, you know, being the devil's advocate. Like, it's not impossible that they did those. You could see the ground. I mean, you're looking down at your feet. It's not like it's invisible to you.
If you're going to get me to help you do a 12-mile-wide monkey
jump. It's not that big. They're not that big.
How big is it?
They're not that big. They're, you know, a few hundred feet wide, I think, the really big ones. But they're not, like, 12 miles long or anything crazy.
Maybe I'd do it.
The lines themselves, they're superficial. They're only 10 to 30 centimeters deep and could be washed away.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's why nobody goes there, because they'll wear it down?
It's only ever received a very small amount of rain. But there's issues also that the great changes that we're seeing to the climate, that it might start raining there. Isn't that fucked?
Yeah. But or they'll get crops.
Well, at least, you know, everybody's like really... hooked
yeah, I'll
up.
Take crops over him.
But everyone, yeah, crops paintings. Would be better than these stupid lines, right?
Yeah.
But everybody's really
but the
like.
The monkey lines. Shut up, eat this.
They have it in their head that, you know, this that this site is like, it's super important. But we have all the images. Like, once we have the images, if the water comes and washes everything away, at least we've documented. We know these people made these things. We don't know why or when. Well, they think it's the Nazca culture, which is like, I think it said here, 400 to 650 AD.
So they lived there and maybe carved those things?
They think.
Slowly and that was, over time.
So that's over 1,000 years ago. That's, you know, more than as much as 1,500 years ago.
Good workmanship.
Could be longer. Crazy shit, man. They don't really have any explanation for why, but there's a lot of, I mean, it could be aliens, right? I mean, if we can go to Mars, man, we can send a robot to Mars. It's so arrogant to think that we're the only ones that could do that. I've never seen any evidence whatsoever that's even remotely compelling that aliens have visited here. None of it. None of it that's outside of other, like, there's not one thing that stands out where you say, that had to be aliens. It couldn't have just been really smart people. Not one thing.
Yeah, why wouldn't any of them left anything?
Well, they might have. They might have. When we're looking at the pyramids, what we might be looking at is someone's knowledge and information from another culture.
Well, don't the pyramids somehow point to Sirius?
Sort of. Well, it depends. See, there's a thing called the precession of the equinoxes. So the Earth spins,
yeah.
Right? You know, it's like there's like a wobble to the Earth. And so when you see the stars, it's not always the same. And it wobbles like, you know, every X amount of thousands of years. So depending upon where you think these were constructed, you would have a different star line.
Oh, I see.
You'd have a different thing that you would see. There's a guy named John Anthony West who's just amazing when it comes to this shit. His whole video series, it's called Magical Egypt. It's so good. It's like if you're not even interested at all in Egypt, you're like, that's fucking boring. Bunch of people living in the sand like assholes. If you watch one of these videos,
I would say that.
I would.
I love it.
I would if I was high. Well, people living just in being sand silly. Like assholes. If I was just trying to be funny, I would say that. But his videos just are super in depth about the construction methods and how big it is and like all the magical things about the way they built them. They think that it was a culture that lived a long fucking time before we think. Not just like 2,500 BC, but like he's of the notion that it's like 10,000 plus BC. And if you go to 10,000 BC, apparently where the lion is, the Sphinx, where it's pointing would be directly over the constellation Leo.
Ooh. I like the Sirius theory better, the dog star.
What is that?
It's like Robert Anton Wilson's crazy idea that that we are possibly currently existing in the Sirius star cluster, and we're having this experience of reality pumped into our consciousness as a form of training for something.
Like that, Matrix pods? Like we're all
yeah, Matrix
like
pods. And that there's like, so that, there's like clues left in the simulator pointing back home. And just as a little cookie, like you leave in video games, you know? Or maybe people a long time ago were more aware of the fact that this is an interdimensional academy, a kind of Hogwarts for young godlings who are trying to like who have the potential to become like universe creators, but before they're released to like create their own dimensions, they have to go through this infinite loop again and again and again until you learn that the most important thing is to love the people around you more than you love yourself, and then boom,
and
no
then
more
you can be a god. Then you can be a god.
Well, yeah, then you can. Then we can trust you to fuck around with like our black hole machine or whatever.
Right,
like, I'm not
going
to put you in charge of black holes until you while you're a selfish shithead.
Yeah.
That always seems to me like if that was really like a plot, if someone had designed like people with this sort of like puzzle in front of them, the plot is eventually they're going to get intelligent enough, they're going to figure out the plot.
Yeah.
That seems to me to be like a really shitty way of doing things.
Yeah.
It's like, there's God, that's like very.
Just tell them how to do it.
It's very godlike.
Yeah.
It's very
you
godlike.
You will learn eventually. Just tell me. That's not the way you teach kids.
Well, in that sense,
they'll
it's like
eventually.
That confusion that people feel of in like the existential angst of being a person where you don't know what the fuck you are, or where are you going,
yeah.
What happens when I die. Like, almost universally, that needs to be plugged up. Whether it's plugged up with this alien story,
yes.
Or whether it's plugged up with, you know, a Mormon story, whatever.
Yeah.
You just got to plug it up.
Yeah.
It's
you're talking about, like, the that aching feeling of terror that, like, some people, that's, man, that's...
Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here, though?
Yeah, right.
I understand.
There's a great existentialist philosopher / author, Camus. You ever heard of Camus?
Of course I haven't heard of Camus.
You haven't?
No.
Fucking,
The Stranger is one of my favorite
books. You'd love him, man. You would fuck
him.
You
really?
So
Camus?
Good. You'd
really?
Love him. Yeah, you'd love him.
Wow.
But his, the thing
my
you
mother
just...
My died yesterday, or was it the day before? I can't remember. That's the first line.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really good. But he, like, that thing that you're talking about, that aching fucking thing,
sorry.
His premise, C-A-M-U-S... His premise and a lot of his ilk, their premise is that is being human. Like that awful feeling of like having a hole that you are constantly trying to plug up.
Existentialism. It's just like, whatever.
What's the name
here.
Of his book? What's the name
well,
of
The Myth of Sisyphus, The Stranger.
Yeah, The Stranger's a novel.
This yeah, try The Myth of Sisyphus if you want to get into the philosophy angle.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool stuff, but it will give you that chilling kind
spell
of...
spell Sisyphus?
S, is there another Y in there? S-Y-S-Y-P-H-U-S?
Sisyphus? Sisyphus.
You know what's beautiful? I don't really need to totally know that.
No, it'll fill in for you.
Yeah,
you probably mean
throw
this,
it
right?
into Google.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, it'll be on the Kindle. Crack, crack.
You know Sisyphus. You know who that is? Sisyphus. Sisyphus was cursed. It's a Greek myth. Was cursed by the gods to eternally push a boulder up to the very top of a hill and then to let it roll back down the hill.
Right when it gets to the top, it would roll way back down.
That story.
And so this is the
eternally, right?
Eternally. Some existentialists look at the human predicament and they point out the fact that you're going to die. No one will remember you in a few hundred years. Most human achievements that have happened in the past are completely lost, gone, forgotten. Even though they're in history, it's still ultimately a meaningless thing in the sense that you have this inevitable personal extinction that's going to happen. And so the predicament in life is one of
why go on
being Sisyphus. Here we are. Anything we do, push it up the fucking hill, it's going to like roll back down. We got to start over. Push it up the hill, roll back down. This is a kind of human archetype for how do we, in the midst of what appears to be meaninglessness in the infinite scale, find meaning in like human endeavors when the whole thing's going to get wiped out by the sun.
Yeah, some of those philosophers have brought them to God.
What's that?
Some of those existentialists have brought them to God because they were like, this must be the answer.
There are like theological or theistic existentialists like Soren Kierkegaard. There's some of them are and do believe in
which
God.
Is like weird. But
then there's
like there's
nothing. Sartre. Yeah, then they're the ones who are just like, no, it's just all nausea and confusion, my friends. It's just a...
See, I don't buy that because I don't buy them knowing. I don't buy that anyone that says, no, it's nothing. No, there's nothing. Like, how do you know there's nothing? You have no idea.
Yeah, but when there's no examples, there's no proof
right.
for something.
You're right.
You don't even bring it up.
Right, you don't bring it up, but you don't say...
It's not...
But you don't... Yeah, you don't say it's not something either.
But Ari, you land more in that camp, don't you?
Wouldn't
it's
you? Not. It's not even part of the conversation. Get out of here with that shit. What
yeah.
if... But what if fish were once bears?
Well, if you look at the fossil record, Mr. Shapir.
Is there any reason to think that? Otherwise, what are you talking about?
I think there is. I think there's reason to think that fish or bears or whatever the fuck you want to think, if it gets you in the zone.
Right.
This is that. It's like, because there's like a...
That's like taking two dribbles before you take a foul shot. Like, it's just like ritual.
There you go.
Makes you feel better. That's fine.
That thing you just described, the two dribbles before the foul shot,
that's
called chaos magic. That's the roots of a magical system that's based on the idea that these symbols themselves, they lack any inherent meaning outside of the mind state that they place you in. And so if they help you transform your will into reality, so if that ritual helps you score, if whatever the fucking thing is that you do prior to sitting down to write or prior to whatever it is that your job happens to be, if that actually puts your mind in a state where you are more likely to receive inspiration or you're going to be more graceful or athletic, then that's all that fucking matters.
Who cares if it's a lie?
Yeah, that's all that matters. The symbols themselves, are you really going to worry over the actual existence of a elephant-headed God that can shrink himself down and ride around on a mouse?
If you have a good family unit over it and you're raised well, then it's like, all right, fine.
I don't think the issue is a belief system as much as the issue is getting caught up in an ideology that you can't question.
Yeah.
That's because when you do that, if you want to go in the Thor camp or whatever camp you want to go to, you believe is the grand ruler of the fucking...
Yeah. Zeus.
Yeah, no matter who it is. Name a guy. Odin. Odin, right?
Okay.
Praise Odin.
Praise Odin.
Yes. Anytime you can't question anything, you're Fucksville. You know,
if you have
something you believe in, that's probably empowering. What's not empowering is when you subscribe to an ideology. Because if you believe that there's some all eternal, loving God that's looking over you and judging you every day, and that you have to do your best to make him proud, that is your divine father. He created you, and you know deep in your DNA what the good things you're supposed to do is. If you really go live your life like that, you'll probably live a pretty fucking cool life.
Yep.
You'll be really nice to people. You'd be super righteous. You would want to make your daddy God all proud of you and shit. The problem is when you subscribe to an ideology and that doesn't let you question anything. The problem is not believing in a God. The problem is now what do you have to do because you believe that God? Well, now you have to stop gay marriage. You have to stop guys from masturbating. You have to stop people from doing this and stop people from doing that.
That way.
You have to listen to me because my way is the right way and the Lord
destroy
is the true Lord.
Yeah.
Islam is the truth.
Yeah.
All of that stuff. It's all the same shit. It's all the same shit. The ideology is the problem. It's
That's
not the believing in God, what does this motherfucker God want you to go do? Does
he
want you to strap
rap.
Dynamite to your chest and walk into a cafe?
But God gets associated with it, just like you're talking about the chicken lady. God gets associated with that. So then you want to be like, no, fuck them and fuck the thing they believe in.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, it's like what happens is there's violent people in the world and they like to be violent. They enjoy it. It gets them off, but they can't rationalize the fact that they enjoy being violent because it's seems so monstrous and animalistic. So you need a reason. Religion is a fantastic way to justify every dark activity that humans engage.
Yeah, we have to defend Christ. Yeah.
You can fucking, did you see the thing that popped up on the internet? ISIS's guide to having child sex slaves? Did you see that?
No.
They have a guidebook, which is they have questions. There's important questions. If you have a slave that's underage, that's a girl, and you're wanting, I guess they don't like gay people. So if you have an underage sex slave that's a girl, and you are in ISIS, you're going to have some questions.
Right.
The number one being, when do I get to fuck her?
Yeah.
And this is a guidebook where they're like, well, can you fuck her? Well, if she's able to have sex, in this guidebook, it says if she's able to have sex, but if she's not, then you can enjoy her in other ways. Just don't penetrate her. But that's a real thing, man. They're putting that, and they're quoting.
Okay. How do we know this is real? And how do we know this is some CIA plant?
We don't know that. It could be. And I did think that, this could be propaganda.
Yeah, when you brought it up, I thought that. But
this could be propaganda.
It's the first thing.
But they do. They are taking slaves. It is a thing that they are taking slaves. And some of those slaves are women. And if you have a female slave that you've taken, that you've captured from your enemy,
they generally rape that.
Then you are going to have some questions about the, like, as a religious person,
if you want to live ethically, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely,
what are you going to do with your? How do you ethically fuck this girl?
Like when the dishwasher was invented, Jews had to go to the rabbis and said, "Are we allowed to put milk and meat dishes in here? What's the ruling here?"
That kind of shit.
That kind of logic. That's, they use that based on their slaves and their sex slaves.
What is the answer to that?
A lot of Jews have separate dishwashers.
That's hilarious.
Milk and fleischiks.
Oh my goodness! If you want to be kosher,
yeah.
The main thing is this. How awful is like the sex slavery is, and as ridiculous as that is, the structure is always the same.
Yeah.
Which is a very manipulative, charismatic, power hungry, narcissistic guy has convinced some dumb people that he has got the line in to God, and as long as they're coming to him to ask him what to do, it's great. That's the main structure. The structure needs to be that a certain amount of people believe that there is one person who has contact with an invisible guy, and that person will tell them what's right and what's wrong. Right. It's very comforting.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about it.
You don't have to worry about it. Just go to the guy and ask him, like, you can finger her.
There's no moral quandaries anymore.
It's so dark. But really, when you see what's happening there, is this incredibly awful version of S&M. It's sadomasochism. You're going to your daddy to find out how to fuck. It's like this dark sadomasochism. That's what it is. It's S&M. You're going to your daddy to find out if you can put milk with whatever in your washing machine. Mm-hmm. You're going to daddy to find out if you can use birth control. It's always a lot of times it's sex related. Like the Pope just said something like, didn't he just come out and say like you don't have to? He was talking about how to have sex. You know, they'll tell you can't use birth control. You know, they tell you things involving sex. Like a man who is connected to an invisible being will tell you how to fuck on this planet. How crazy is that?
It's so stupid.
It is stupid. It is as dumb as it gets. But when you consider the fact that it is, not only is it real, but it is like these people doing this are behind businesses that are making billions of dollars every year. And that money is going in the direction of paying for lobbyists to control government and politics. That's when it becomes sinister.
Government.
That's when it becomes sinister.
If you look at it from a big picture perspective, do you think it's possible for people to have gotten where we've gotten as quickly as we've gotten without religion, without some organizing ethical behavior guideline?
Because of the big jump early on. Now it's holding us back, but back then it was really helping us. Like, guys, don't kill.
Well, we would be raping and pillaging still.
Yeah.
There is a Judeo-Christian way of living, they say, which is just like the basic tenets, like don't murder, don't steal, don't rape.
Well, it's almost like an idea virus that is introduced into a system in order to force growth in a certain direction. Because
I
wonder
if we would have gotten society without that.
I doubt it.
Greeks.
Dudes want to fuck.
Didn't the Greeks?
People want to rape. Yeah, but they had a gang of different gods.
But I think they were kind of like
Greek gods.
I think even back then they were. I think even back then. I don't know for sure. You know what? I'm not even going to.
What?
That part of me that likes to chime in as though I know anything about Greek gods is about to come in. I have no idea.
I don't know if there's any Roman ones and the Greek ones.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about that, man. But I do think that it's the predicament, regardless of that, being whether that was a kind of cast that needed to be placed on humanity as a whole to allow this growth or this thing
to happen.
Starting
off to do. Yeah.
Yeah, now we're in a place where
we've outgrown the cast.
Time to take off the cast. It's starting to smell like somebody sneezed into a rotting vagina.
Well, it's being replaced with a new one. It's being replaced with atheism. Atheism is very much a religion.
But we take those tenets of like, kill. We like that one.
But I don't mean it in a negative way. I mean it's like religion's the wrong word. It's an organized group. The people that are a part of it, they subscribe to the ideology of this organized group and are almost, like, for a large percentage, at least, I shouldn't say almost the majority, but a large percentage are liberal. A large percentage of atheists are liberal people. Yeah. Like, they tend to lean left with their ideas. I would say if you had to gauge the difference between the Republican side and the Democrat side, like, which one has more atheists, it would clearly be Democrat, right? Seems is that like right? It. Am I guessing? I'm just guessing, right?
I don't know.
But let's see if we're right. I would say that's right.
Yeah, that seems pretty logical to think that.
I mean, it does seem logical, but let's see if it's true.
Also, they're super into God, the Republicans. They might have some atheists, but the ones that are super into God, those are more Republicans.
Right.
But I don't really know. Can you be a single president? Is that even possible
in
this country?
Nope.
You can't even be a single president? You can't be like, no, if you haven't figured that out.
I hardly
doubt
that's
the thing I was wondering. Like, what would happen, like, if is a president allowed to have another job? Like, can Obama start, like, working on comedy? Could he do stand-up if he wanted to at night if he wasn't working?
Yeah, I bet he could.
That would be amazing.
I've done my job. It's 6:30 p.m. I worked an extra hour.
I'm clocked out.
Yeah. Well,
they're saying there's
president.
A lot of the people in Congress are closeted that are atheists.
Closeted atheists.
That's hilarious.
Wow. What a bunch of fucking fakers.
It's saying there's an article about this on Think Progress, why all of the atheists in Congress are closeted. That's hilarious.
They won't say it. They have to pretend.
They can't. It's not popular. Atheism is not popular.
Wow.
There's a certain thing that people want to do. They want to say something really stupid and have everybody else go, yeah. Like, we're not going to think any more than we already have. Yeah.
Right.
And when people say, well, I'll tell you what. I meet somebody and they're an atheist.
I punch them in the face.
I just walk away because they're a damn fool.
Who said that?
Steve Harvey.
That's right. I heard that.
Did he really?
I did it in a white voice.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
You're a damn fool.
You're a damn fool.
And he gets a bunch of applause. He gets a bunch of claps.
Silly in their brain.
They silly.
That's not an argument, PJ Harvey, whatever his name is. Steve Harvey.
What kind of moral compass do you operate under? Mm. That's the idea.
I can't trust you if you don't believe in the symbol that was created a long time ago by people trying to control other people. This is like...
Well, yeah, once you go, it's silly, so forget it.
There's a book I read, and God damn it, I wish I could remember the name of it, but the very first chapter in the book was talking about how fascinating it is that in the Old Testament, when God is asking for offerings,
he
only wants stuff that humans like. Like, he only wants the best thing. Like, God never tells priests to ask people for, like, a jar of wasps.
Right.
It's only cows, goats. Yeah. Like, now
crops.
If the same system worked, then the priest would come out and be like, God wants.
They do money. That's what they do. The people. Jimmy, whatever his name is.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's the difference is money. Now it's this ambiguous thing. But back then, what was kind of interesting is like you would actually ask for like
a fatted calf,
or you'd ask for stuff.
Wow, it's only stuff got men.
A new iPad. God wants a new iPad.
Send your technology.
Yeah, God wants.
Donate your computers.
Yeah, it's fascinating that way. But I don't know. I think God's an overused word, but I do think there is definitely.
They're like, I don't know what God wants. He didn't really tell us officially. How about we just give him some of this shit? It's our favorite shit.
Yeah, just give him something nice. Man, that's really fascinating stuff. I've been reading this book that, you know, it's a controversial book, and some people say that it's like, I don't know, I like the book. It's well written. It's called Zealot by Reza Aslan. Mm-hmm. It's the historical Christ, and his premise is that Jesus, regardless of his premise, what's really fascinating is he's just talking about what it was like back then, which is that the Romans were occupying that land, and that the priests were actually people who were used to be like a religious thing, but they would buy their positions from the Romans.
Yeah.
So everybody wanted the Romans gone. And so, you know, in the story in the Bible, Jesus is crucified between two thieves. And so Reza Aslan says that if you look at the actual word for thief, it actually translates into bandit. And bandit is the word that the Romans used to describe people who are trying to overthrow them. So Jesus, his premises was somebody who was pro-violence and wanted to overthrow the Romans. And there were a lot of other people like him too. And so when people were saying they were like the Son of God or the Messiah, the term Messiah actually meant like the King of the Jews, somebody who was going to like liberate the Jews from the Romans. It's a really great book.
Wow.
And the very first chapter
talks. That'd be a cool fucking movie.
It would be really cool, but
that
when,
version of
when
it.
They talk about the
get that same dude to play it.
Well, they were I mean, a lot of like what he says is like if you read in the in the Bible now, they haven't scrubbed all of the violent stuff he said. One thing he said is like something about I will turn you away. I will turn father against son. I will turn like if you aren't able to leave your family, then you'll never be able to follow me. It's like all these things which are crazy.
Follow me to liberty.
We're going to get the fucking Romans out of here, man. That was the idea. These assholes are occupying our country. They've taken over our religion. We're going to fucking overthrow them. And they really couldn't understand why God let the Romans in there in the first place. So, like, that was a real monkey wrench in their idea.
We're the chosen people.
We're the chosen people. But it's like, no, you're not really the fucking chosen people because they're guys who are guarding your temples now wearing Roman outfits.
Yeah, and like, God freed us from the from slavery. Now we're sort of half slaves again.
Exactly. And they couldn't it didn't work, man. It was like the paradigm did not fit in with their idea that we're the chosen people. Suddenly there's these fucking Romans occupying everything. And so a lot of the messiahs, and there were many messiahs before Jesus, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
John the Baptist executed. Why was he executed? He was executed because they looked at him as a threat to the Roman power structure. That was it. All these people getting crucified. And by the way, man, crucifixion was in back then. Like they were throwing people on crosses every day. So it was like a constant attempt to like take
silence
down
the rebellion.
That's it. Silence the rebellion. Yeah. Yeah, Silence the Rebellion. It's really interesting. Great book.
It's really crazy, but those sort of volatile moments in history, crazed, insane, violent moments of control, and then the repercussions of that control, those are like the engines that fuel change and oftentimes fuel innovation. And I know we look at them as being, we look at them as being as like horrible moments when they're happening, because they are, for everyone involved. But like for the future... Like I think all these chaotic moments where there's people struggling to get into a position for power, and the fact that nobody can really hold it, and it keeps, and people have their complaints, and the people that are rising up, they have the will of the people, because the will of the people is we don't want any of this fucking terror anymore. We're not, all right, let's go get them, and then they get in, and they become the person they were fighting against. Like this process repeats itself over and over again, and it seems like objectively, if you look at it, it's like this process of cleansing or filtering, almost like water coming down from a glacier and going through all those rocks until it becomes pure. It's like it's got to go through all these trials and tribulations. There's got to be all these fucking chaotic moments of horror so we understand what horror is, so we never repeat horror. You got to have a Holocaust to understand where the 60s came from. You got to have these bad moments that sort of make you like long for and accomplish the great heights.
This is why I just had Alex Gray on my podcast, and I'm not going to try to repeat what he said about the Jews as the chosen people because they're creating psychedelics. But one of his premises, because Hoffman was a Jew, but the idea is that we needed scientific materialism, atheism, we needed people to turn their backs on the ancient version of God so that we could understand the universe at a deep enough level to be able to to synthesize LSD and all the various like...
Jews had to be smart to figure that
shit
out.
Yes, yeah, it's really cool, but it's kind of what you're saying, which is like we needed like these phases in human evolution are really important because like if you're caught up in a ridiculous version of the deity, then maybe you're not going to be so inclined to study molecular biology or maybe you're not going to be able to study chemistry in the same way. And without studying that stuff, then we wouldn't have some of the psychoactive compounds that I think a lot of people consider as being one of the potential ways that our species can evolve. And so these psychedelics can actually be ways to connect with the thing that the ancient religions were talking about. And then that thing that ended up being like turned into like a painted clown, you know, that people, somebody had a vision. You know, Moses by the, what was the burning bush?
Burning bush.
What was that? What was it made of, though? It was called a acacia or something?
Yeah, the acacia bush.
Which has what in it?
DMT.
Dimethyltryptamine. So the premise here
he
is...
got it in his fucking head?
Well, the idea of what is... Well, you're translating
if you take God
things
out,
from...
What would the story really be?
Well, if you're translating something from ancient Hebrew, right? Yeah. And then you're putting it into Latin and then eventually to the English... when you're doing that, like, you're going to, the way they explain things is going to come off very different. Like, if you ever read, like, Russian stories translated to English, it's so bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
If you throw it through, Google Translate, it's so bizarre. It's so hard to understand because their language works so much differently. So by saying that, like, God took the form of a burning bush, they easily could be saying he was smoking DMT.
That's right.
Easily.
Yeah.
And yeah, that could be a sublime fucking
that's
lyric.
It.
You dry the fucking, that bush out, figure out a way to get the fucking DMT out of it, you smoke it. Like, if you, and especially if that's how they did it, like, what if they just lit those bushes on fire and then just breathed it all in?
Just got some out of it. Just breathe in wholesale smoke.
Right. What if they did it like totally caveman style? Just take those bushes, hack them down, dry them out, make a fucking a tent, like one of those sweat lodges that the Indians do.
Oh, yeah, and then just let it fill up. Hotbox
yourself with DMT.
Wow. And then he saw God and was like, dude, everybody down there, hold on, shh. I got some stuff to tell you. Oh, my God.
But even he's suspect because God was telling you not to covet your neighbor's wife, not because your neighbor's wife is like
in a
relationship.
It's his own wife. Everybody leaves my wife alone.
Like, the idea was that the guy owns that wife.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Like, it's like this insane, archaic way of thinking that's connected to that time.
Yeah.
So we don't, you know, even if Moses did say those things, we have no idea what the actual words it came out. If Moses did have this psychedelic
ancient Hebrew is not used anymore.
It's like, and not only that, like, who the fuck wrote it down? Was it Moses? Moses didn't write it down. If I told you some shit that happened to me when I was a child, and then it was your job to write a book after I died, you would butcher it. I would butcher your life, you would butcher my life, we would butcher each other's lives. If Moses wasn't writing it himself.
From Moses, yeah.
You know, if you're not getting his fucking notebook, like, who knows what was actually said?
But
written the same way throughout history. Like, they write every letter the same exact way. Mm. That's the written Torah.
Right.
And then the oral Torah is something different.
Crazy looking, by the way, as a language.
It's cool looking.
It's beautiful. And it's so strange and psychedelic. Right.
They have musical notes on each one of the letters you can read.
Really?
Yes. You know what to go up and
it's
down.
It's wild, man. It's
so you know how to say it while you're
the
talking?
Trup. Yeah, when you're reading the Torah out loud.
Wow.
Or your Parsha.
Can you read Hebrew?
Yeah, of course.
Fucking crazy, man. I'd like to learn it.
But
it's
dude,
so cool.
You lived in Israel, like,
man, that was
doing religious studies. Was it fun?
Yeah, it was just like a given for a while, but now that I step back and look at it, I was like, that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. I went to China for 3 weeks. I thought it was cool. I lived in Israel for 2 years.
Wow. How old were you?
18 to 20.
Wow. So it was all
I got drunk there for the first time. Pre-pussy.
Wow.
I didn't even do anything back then.
Wow. That's a fascinating story.
It was so cool. You take the buses and stuff.
What's it like there?
Everything's made of stone. Jerusalem's like, the whole city's made of stone. So the old city's all stone. But everywhere else is like stone outside, you know, the buildings. It just looked really pretty.
Did you go to that wall?
Where
the zombies climbed up in that movie?
was the most ridiculous. Like, no security cameras. Why monitor the wall separating us from a mass of zombies?
Yeah.
So
we're all dancing and having a great time.
Yeah,
Jerusalem's fine, and then all of a sudden it's not fine. Overrun instantly.
Yeah,
he escaped too easily a lot in that movie. Like, plane crash, and then only the two of you survive.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, it's like Godzilla.
Yeah,
same sort of situation. But so you were there from 18 to 20.
18 to 20. I really got drunk there the first time.
Years was that?
My high school does a half year for senior year. And then the second 4 to 6 months, we go to Israel and we do like a tour group. So that was it was really 2.5 years.
So what calendar year was this?
92, I think January of 92.
So this is like Clinton presidency. Bush.
Yeah, I voted absentee ballot for Clinton. That was the only time I ever voted for president.
Did you wear religious garb while you were there?
I mean, yarmulke and the tzitzit, the tassels. One thing we loved doing, because there was no black people there, only Ethiopians, and they were like in like a different part of the town, of the country. We would just yell nigger at each other down the street.
Oh, no. Like, how dare you?
Duncan! Hey, Duncan! You nigger!
Because it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't
there.
Mean anything to anybody.
That's fascinating. Yeah. Scariest word you could ever yell.
Yes.
You'd have to do like a full 360 sweep of your surroundings with a helicopter and then parachute down and yell it to feel super confident. It's like the only word that you can yell out and anyone in that group is allowed to punch you. See, if you yell out cunt, if you yell
only
out cunt,
people.
Women can't just run up to you and punch you. You know, but if you yell out nigger, they have a free pass to just punch you.
White people too, they're just like no.
Well, it's the only racial slur that is a free pass to violence.
Yeah,
like Chinese, if you yell out chink,
no,
like
it's
most
mean,
likely
it's
they'll look at you right. like you motherfucker, or you piece of shit.
Right.
But there are certain dudes, not all of them. There's certain dudes that if they catch you yelling out that word, they will fucking punch you.
It's the Prophet Muhammad of words.
But it's crazy if you're in a place. I mean, there's guaranteed. There's people that just heard you say that are going to be offended. They're like, you know, fuck that guy. You know, who the fuck does he think he is yelling that shit out, dropping N-bombs on the podcast?
22 years ago.
No, it doesn't even matter. Just the fact that you even just said it now.
Oh, right. Just the fact that
just
I'm
saying
making
it.
Fun of what that how irresponsible was to say that.
Yeah, you remember, like, I had
whatever.
The bit we'll about the three magic words, and that was one of them. They're like, you can't even say it. Like, you're not even allowed to say the word.
In reference to it.
If you're white,
It is a really interesting thing because symbols are harmless, but it's somehow they justify violence. Like whenever this ridiculous thing or an image of the prophet,
don't put the flag on the ground.
Whenever it's there, it's like that thing itself is meaningless, harmless, but it allows people, it allows violent people an excuse to be violent. And there is nothing, I think, more satisfying than some people to be violent and righteous at the same time.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Like American Sniper. Mm-hmm. That guy's like pegging like
God, that was
fucking
dumb.
Oh, it's just such
movie
it was just
horrible.
Such propaganda.
Over
you gotta 160 watch it.
Confirmed kills, not one wrong, even though every time he was like, I don't know what that is in the guy's hand. Fuck it, I'm taking the shot.
Oh.
He's never got it wrong.
Oh.
Only awesome.
Oh,
such a rah-rah movie.
Yeah, it was it was really like
the acting was horrible.
Have you seen it?
No.
The acting was so bad.
Howard Stern was raving about it this
morning. Oh, fuck you, old man.
Oh.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my
the acting was horrible from jump. There was no plot. It was just some scenes. The wife was only annoyed.
I haven't seen
the entire time. She was just like, why are you going out there again? You're like, you've never built a relationship. There's no the fucking movie. You haven't written this fucking movie.
Mm,
and at the very end,
though.
And I don't give a fuck. At the very end, they go, okay, so he comes home. He's all fucked in the head. He meets some. He's working out with his wife. He meets some veterans. He helps them fucking sniper, and that's how he gets his life together. He helps them snipe and shit. And then he picks one guy up, and he's like, "Yeah, we're gonna go snipe today." And then just at home on the range, and then the guy looks at his wife weird, and then it cuts away and goes, "He was killed by a veteran."
Yeah.
Oh, it was that guy.
Yeah, but they didn't even show what happened.
They didn't even
it's a
show
fucking
it.
2 hour and 20 minute movie. Show every tour. Fucking four tours. Combine them.
But they wouldn't show
Don't forget
him.
That they failed to mention.
And they just said, oh, he died. And they showed footage of this a funeral procession.
Also, the guy is like, Jesse Ventura sued that guy.
And won.
And
that
won.
That was the guy who lied. Yeah, that's how ridiculous the movie was. There was not
It wasn't just that.
I just need some time, baby.
There's apparently a whole long laundry list of questionable stories.
That was that guy? No wonder. What a garbage-ass movie. They probably had to take out the plot like
they
fasteners.
Did.
Well, there was a bunch of other things that he did that he said he did. Like, one of them was there was a carjacking where two people were shot and killed. And
it read like a fucking Mencia talking about himself.
Apparently.
that's how it saw.
No evidence that the carjacking took place.
Oh, yeah,
or
that guy.
The two guys
were
killed.
That was that guy.
And there was another one where he killed a bunch of people in Katrina. He was a sniper in Katrina. He was shooting looters. And he talked about, which is like, okay. Like, it's one thing if you're shooting terrorists who have rocket launchers, but you're shooting people that are poor people that are stealing shit because they're involved in chaos.
Yeah.
Because the fucking water has come and surrounded the city and there's no resources. And so you're shooting looters. Like, we should be really fucking careful about who we celebrate.
That's
like,
right.
If you're shooting looters,
yeah,
like
you're a murderer.
Yeah, we're
you
not talking about
that.
War. We're not talking. Like, even Michael Moore was talking about his.
Well, that's what you
uncle.
Get for looting. No. That's not what you get for looting.
You don't get that for looting.
The death penalty is not made for people who want an Xbox.
It's not for a judge to say.
Yeah.
Sure. But it's not only that. It's not going to be delivered from a fucking roof. It's going to be delivered because you go to a trial and you have a jury of your peers.
Yeah.
That's what the government is supposed to be established for. Like, to be on a rooftop, you're just murdering people.
This movie was like a full liar.
That's right.
I mean, this is crazy.
You're just murdering people.
Well, Jesse Ventura was a fucking Navy SEAL. He was in what's called, I guess, called the UDT before it was the Navy SEALs. I believe that's the name of it, the organization. There was a predating name. The same, Jesse Ventura was one of them.
Yeah.
So apparently this guy told this story about knocking out Jesse Ventura and Jesse Ventura bad-mouthing the troops and bad-mouthing the war, which he said he would never do, never did, never argued with this guy. He never got hit. And he gave the guy an opportunity to retract it. Otherwise, he was, because he wrote about it in his book, he called him Scruffy Face or something like that. But then on radio shows, he admitted that it was Jesse Ventura.
So they can do the math.
I think he did it on Opie and Anthony, actually. Mm. I think that's where it came out. So they realized that it's not true. So the guy got killed. Okay, Chris Kyle gets killed. And now Jesse Ventura goes through with the lawsuit with the guy's wife.
Mm.
Which, that's the...
No, she's got all the profits from that.
Yes.
Fuck her. Off the fucking lie about him? Get her, take the book out. Stop selling the book.
You know what, though, man? Give her a break.
Well, she starts saying, I gave that money to charity. And then it comes out later, she's a liar, too. She gave 20% of it to charity.
I think as long as her, look, if her life isn't, I mean, she's suing the guy who lied. It just so happened that the guy who lied died.
Take the book down, then stop selling the book.
Well, that's the issue. Yeah. You're dead right. You're dead right.
So I'm getting all the profits down.
The issue is
the book.
Random House. Like, who owns the book? But then the issue is, does he represent them when he goes on radio stations and says something that's not even in the book? Does he name the guy in the story in the book, but does it make them responsible? I say it doesn't.
I say it
the
does.
The whole thing gets sued. Not Random House, because he said Scruffy Face. Who the fuck is
Scruffy
Face?
I know, but then when he says, now I've told you who Scruffy Face is, now what you've printed is libel or whatever.
Well, here's
it is.
The thing, man. If he wrote about all that other shit about shooting looters and all that other shit, like, if that turns out to be not true, which people are saying it's not true, you really got to take the whole book back.
Take the book off.
But
or repackaged it as just
fiction.
Falsity.
And this is what's important.
That Oprah had that book about that guy shattered little pieces or whatever, 1,000 little pieces.
Yeah, yes.
And he was like, no, it was all a lie. And she was like, what? And he goes, yeah, I'm a fucking
writer.
Or
the kid who just said he went to heaven and he came out and said the whole thing was a lie. You know that kid who wrote
Yeah, they pulled that book too.
They pulled
it. Said he went to heaven?
Yeah.
Well, no, there's this like cheesy book where a kid goes into a coma, flies around heaven for a while, comes back, writes this bestseller. People are like, I knew heaven was real and I knew it was like this. I never read it, but it's a funny, it's just a hilarious thing. But the kid got religion
and said I was,
and felt so guilty about lying that he came out and said the whole thing was a lie. I thought I could get attention.
Wow.
It's not real.
Great.
It's really, it's,
and they pulled it.
There's a great,
they pulled it.
There's a great blog that I read called, if you just Google Truth, Justice, and the Curious Case of Chris Kyle. It's really, really well written, which explains like all of the various stories, and here's why they couldn't be true, and here he's not casting any judgment, not using any inflammatory language, just trying to explain like what may be or may not have been true.
It said in the beginning of this movie that was just released, this is all a true story.
See, some of it, I'm sure, was. See, that's the thing. The guy
is about to shoot some kid, and they go like, if you're wrong about this, you'll fry in Leavenworth. That's your spotter.
Yeah.
That's your spotter is telling you you're going to go to jail forever if you take this wrong shot.
Another thing you have to remember, too, is Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood, who used to be the baddest motherfucker in Hollywood.
He's done now, too.
He's an old dude.
But remember when he talked to the chair?
Yes.
As a Republican.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
When you addressed Obama.
Yeah.
How did he direct a movie? When I saw the thing, no, seriously, when I saw the thing, all I thought was, oh, this is just clearly wartime propaganda.
Sign up.
Rogen tweeted that he compared it to the sniper movie in Tarantino's movie. I think Rogen backpedaled
sniper
a little
movie.
Bit. But in Tarantino's movie, Inglourious Basterds, they're watching this in Germany. They're watching a movie about
a sniper.
And it's like,
oh, yeah.
And he's being celebrated,
it's
right?
A propaganda
It's propaganda. American Sniper is propaganda. There's no question about it. So we know that. Then I was thinking, like,
always make the shot.
Did Clint Eastwood really direct this? Because when you see him at the Republican National Convention, he seemed kind of like
nutty out of it.
So then I was thinking, how the fuck is this guy directing like this kind of hardcore action
movie?
Maybe
they're just doing it for him.
Did
the
AD stick his
over.
Face there because he's this manly, rugged, right wing Republican hero, and they knew that that would like get more people to watch this movie, which is essentially a lubricated water slide that leads to your nearest recruiting office if you get hypnotized by the thing enough. That's what it is.
Oh, you want to fight? You want to fight for justice?
And I'll tell you this, man.
You want to be noble? You know what? You don't want to work in the oil fields? You want to be noble?
Yeah, yeah. Go straight to SEAL, even though he's 30.
Yeah.
You think about a lot of people that are in this country that are you got born in a shit town with no fucking opportunity.
Yeah.
And you're surrounded by a bunch of dummies, and then you go see this movie. You're like, holy shit. But I think when you make a movie about someone's life story, and this is what I was pissed off at Foxcatcher for the same reason. That movie Foxcatcher about John DuPont, who was that crazy old man
who shot
Dave Schultz, who was an Olympic champion wrestler. And it was based on his brother Mark Schultz in this movie. They fucked with everything in that movie. He's so angry. Mark Schultz has been tweeting like crazy because he's still alive.
Beautiful line, too.
He's an Olympic gold medalist. I mean,
oh, really? And they said it killed him in the movie?
Well, no. John DuPont killed an Olympic gold medalist in the movie. But his brother, Mark Schultz, who the movie and the book is based on, is still alive. And they changed all these aspects of his life for this movie. And he's like, I'm still alive. Right. But this is me. Like, this isn't like a Chris Kyle thing where they made the movie after he's dead and who knows what he let put in and not put. This is like Mark Schultz is saying this didn't happen. Like, they messed with shit that didn't even make sense. Like, they had the UFC in their movie, but it was in 1988. There was no fucking UFC until 1993.
Like, well, I say this is a true thing.
It didn't even exist. So they're watching an actual fight between Big Daddy Goodrich, who was the eventual opponent of Mark Schultz. And a lot of people are like, yeah, Rogan, you're all the fucking UFC trivia. Nobody gives a shit. It's about the story. No, it's not, dummy. It's about history. Because why would you make up any aspects of history when you're doing a true story? Yeah. You don't need to change the timeline for the UFC. Mm. That's totally arbitrary. Like, someone deciding to do that is their own creative flair just cupping their balls and jizzing over history.
Right.
And if you did that with that, how the fuck am I going to believe any of the aspects of the story? Because you lied about something I know you lied about.
Right.
There's this weird shit where there's like this weird relationship between the two, and they're looking at each other weird, and he's wearing shorts, and now he's got frosted tips, and people are saying that it seemed like it was gay, and Schultz got really upset that they were insinuating there was some sort of a gay relationship.
Oh, Jesus.
And they like fucked with the timeline of his achievements too, because he had already won the world championships. I mean, he was already the best wrestler in the world in his weight class, and they were making it look like he needed his brother, and you know that he was sucking in. DuPont was his career was falling apart. He was the best wrestler in his weight class in the world. Mark fucking Schultz was an animal.
Right.
I mean, if you watch him wrestle when he was in his peak form, he was a fucking animal.
Right.
And like they changed the aspects of his achievements in this movie. Like, he was already a world champion. Like, the way they made it and the way it's like the guy was fucked and nothing was going right for him, and then he needed this John DuPont situation, and that's why he moved in there.
Yeah, in A Beautiful Mind, when the wife stuck with him even though it was going crazy,
yes.
In the real life, she just left.
Of course.
As soon as he ran the bathwater on the kid, she was like, I'm out. I'm divorcing you. It's over.
Yeah.
There was no, like, we're going to make it together, baby.
Why did he do that?
Yeah, and this was like, in the American Sniper was like, we're going to tell the whole story. I'm like, what whole story? There was also a shitty father and husband.
I'm thinking about the Ari Shaffir story when it comes out. They're gonna show him like with a bag of mushrooms, but he's like weeping as he eats them, like, I can't stop. And like you're calling him like, Ari, you gotta stop eating those mushrooms,
and
man.
And all he's doing is watching child porn.
Fuck you.
I don't even know why. Why should it be legal? I can watch it. I didn't fuck any kids. Why isn't the video themselves legal? They'll put some words in your mouth you've never said that someone could totally see.
Put it like on a newspaper quote or something, like, and have it come up.
Did you ever see Lenny with Dustin Hoffman?
You know, I missed it. I didn't see.
Look, I'm a huge fucking Lenny Bruce fan, so I'm fascinated by it. I'm not a huge fan of his war. This is a tricky way to say it, because like, I think I'm not endorsing it right now.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, if Lenny Bruce is performing at the Laugh Factory and you were at the Comedy Store, I would tell people to go see you. I would go, because it would be freaky just to see him.
Yeah.
But you're dealing with a completely different era The world was just way different.
Right.
But anyway, there's this great Dustin Hoffman movie where Dustin Hoffman fucking nailed it. He sounds just like Lenny Bruce. I mean, he's one of the few times where a guy's on stage and it seems like he's a real comic.
Oh.
It's really good. But he says a bunch of shit, and you go, did he say that? How do I know he said that? I know you don't know exactly what came out of his mouth at any given moment. So a lot of this is just bullshit.
Right.
You know, and so like if there's a real person, you got to try your best to make everything as on the money as possible.
Well, yeah.
And whatever you fill in has got to be directly related to everything you absolutely know happened.
But you're not going to be able to fill in stuff like when he tells his wife he loves her for the first time. It's like, that's just like, I'm guessing this is how it went. It's fine.
Unless the wife's alive and she can tell you.
Yeah,
you can,
then it could help.
Yeah, but yeah, well, other than that, priors,
right? I think what you're talking about is a controversial subject. I think some people say that you've got creative license when the thing's
in the movie.
It
didn't even say based on a true story. It said this is a true story.
Oh,
well, Clint Eastwood, look, he's rah-rah all the way. He's a flag-waving old man.
He sure is.
He really is.
All those old men stick together.
Well, look, I think this is, I mean, though they're very dead. Look, I think Howard Stern just saying he enjoyed it as a movie. It's supposed to be a very good movie.
It was
like well-made as a movie.
Not
is it not?
There was no plot. There was no story. The acting was horrible. There were some cool, like, fucking sniping shots.
The sniping was cool.
And that was it. But it wasn't much.
I don't think you could label... He's not like a war, like, apologist
there's no, like,
or anything
the
like
one
that.
The bad guy he wants to get the whole time is like, I don't understand.
Here's
it's just
what it comes
in.
Down to, man. I think I've said on the podcast
as bad
before.
As Green Lantern.
Here's what it boils down to. You want to use military equipment, right? In a movie.
Right.
You're not going to get your own fucking tanks. And where are you going to get the military equipment from? You're going to get the military equipment from the military.
Right.
And the military, and you can look this up.
Let us have a once over on this.
They get to have script approval. So the military, they look through your script and they make sure that the stuff that is in your script is going to get people down to their local recruiting office. And that's why they let you use their machinery.
Wow.
Don't you
think they said to Kubrick that there's never been an anti-war movie that hasn't made enlistment go up?
Anti-war movies?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you keep like you literally cannot make an anti-war movie because every single depiction of war makes people go, oh, that's cool.
Like Platoon?
All of it. All of it. You can see the trend right afterwards. Enlistment shoots up after those big movies come out.
I just
when you see Saving Private Ryan, the guy gets blown up, the cool sniper, but everyone's like, I want to be a sniper.
Right.
You forget the fact they got blown up.
Because people like being violent. And this is why Sebastian Junger's book, War, is such an incredible book, because it portrays war with no like attempt to be like, this is right or this is wrong. It just says, I can't remember the exact wording, but it's like, if you take a 22-year-old and put them behind one of those giant fucking submachine guns.
Yeah.
It feels good.
Video games.
It's fun to like do, 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 do. It feels
live
good.
Xbox.
People love violence. So if you can figure out a way to get people to be violent without the guilt that goes along with like you're killing other members of your species, then what do? You create an imaginary story, right? And the imaginary story in Iraq was the weapons of mass destruction. Also, Saddam Hussein.
That's what they said in this movie. Like, oh, if I don't do my job, they come to San Diego and knock on your door.
That's apparently another aspect of the book that has been questioned, is that the barrels of weapons of mass destruction that they found, like he said that they found like chemical weapons.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He said, we actually saw them.
Yeah.
We laid eyes on them. But they're like, well, then why didn't you tell anybody? What do you mean?
Here's a fun Google search. Do a Google search on birth defects in some of the parts of Iraq that we attacked because we used shells that had some kind of radioactive isotope in it. So now the babies are being born with birth defects. Because the other thing people say is Saddam Hussein gassed his own people, right?
Yeah.
He gassed his own people. Well, what are we doing to them when we're dropping all those bombs? Targeted strikes, man. They know exactly where they're hitting. No, they don't. Babies are being born there with like severe birth defects because of what we did there. So I think in a movie like that, you need to at least illustrate the fact that the reason that man was sitting on the tops of buildings in that area killing people was because he was sent there based on bad information, to say the least. And the people he's killing, like in the very beginning, it's like anybody over the age of 18, this is like in a scene. Anybody over the age of 18
is militarized.
In this area, this is an evacuation zone.
So there's no one here.
Yeah.
except people that are out to kill us.
It's all open game. It's like, oh, wait a minute. So you're saying that because
the
people...
The very first shot. So that way we don't worry about, like, oh, is this questionable morally? No, anyone who's there, over 18, that's what they're there
These monsters did not leave the city that we bombed, that they lived in, when we told them to. So if they're still here, kill their ass.
Jesus Christ.
And then he still, like, shows restraint. And then when he finally has to, it's a kid, but he has a fucking grenade launcher. And he waits until the kid's running at the fucking... and about to throw it, and then he shoots him. But it's totally
they
justified.
They show him shooting a kid?
Mm-hmm. And then the mom.
What the fuck?
But why would the kid be angry? I mean, really, why would you be angry? They only destroyed your city that you lived in.
Yeah. But this is another thing. Yeah, like why we were talking about earlier.
They're shooting Marines. It's like, why are the Marines right there where they can get shot? Remember, just go thousands of miles away back to America.
What we were saying earlier about ideologies are the problem. And being a nationalistic person, subscribing and being a patriot, subscribing to one nation only, regardless of what the actual act itself is, and looking at it like, you know, that's okay because it's one of us. Like, that is an ideology.
There you go.
Like, that is as much of an ideology as a religion. It's like this unquestioning thing. Like, you know, one of the things that Michael Moore was saying was that he put it on his Twitter that a sniper is a coward, and everybody got really pissed off. You know, they're like, I think the logic behind it is kind of silly. Like, you have to look him in the eye when you shoot him. Like, shooting someone in the back is a coward's move. Like, well, in that sense, 90% of war is cowardly.
Yeah.
Because like, you're saying some kind of war is okay, but some kind of – you have rules.
Yeah,
like
You
have to look at somebody.
Shot him in the back or like what about from 100 yards?
How about that means no more rockets. Yeah. That means
no more drones.
Yeah. A lot of the shooting that you do is you're shooting people. Like you don't necessarily look them in the eye when you shoot them. Are you having a duel? Like what are you doing? You're standing back to back and walking 10 paces like assholes? Like what kind
of... Even if there's a reason to be there, can't you look at some of the negative effects and say we want to pull those back?
Yeah.
Like why did 30% of children in Yemen have PTSD now because of drones?
Yeah,
we can't say that's a negative.
It's really important that information gets out there when you are putting a movie out that's going to get people. In the same way like when Beverly Hills Chihuahua came out. Everybody bought a Chihuahua and the pounds filled up with Chihuahuas.
Because they also abandoned
American Sniper is going to do the exact same thing for people who are a little confused in what to do in their lives. And they're going to think, well, I guess the best thing I can do right now is kill people that my government tells me are evil, even though if I study the facts, I find that it's a far more complex issue than that. And maybe my decision should not be to become a hired killer for people who are telling me that I should kill people who more than likely are innocent or just trying to defend their home from an invading, occupying force. It's really important to realize that. Now, I'm not saying all war is bad, because some people will be like, you naive son of a bitch, you don't even realize. Let me repeat the speech at the beginning of American Sniper. This is what the dad...
Oh, yeah.
Here's
God,
the speech,
it was so terrible.
Here's the speech the dad gives at the dinner table after the American Sniper. What's his name? Chris? What was his name?
Chris Kyle.
Chris Kyle has just defended his brother from a beating by a bully. And they're sitting around the table. His brother's got bruised up a little bit. Chris Kyle's sitting there, and his dad gives this speech. There's three types of people.
Wait, hold on. Before you give the speech, he goes, I was just defending my brother. And he looks at the little brother with a black eye, and he goes, is that true? Like, what do you mean? Obviously. He has a black eye. He just got beat up.
That's
How
right.
can you not tell oh, that?
That's right.
What a shitty movie. Is that true? And he goes, yep, all it is.
Three types of people in the world. Three types. There's sheeps. And these are the people who believe that there aren't evil people in the world. And by the way, I'm paraphrasing. I don't memorize it. There's the sheeps. These are the people who believe that there aren't evil people in the world and that everything's safe. And then there's the wolves. And these are the people who try to use evil to overpower others, something like that. And then there's the sheepdogs. And these are the people who defend the sheep.
Oh, God.
What are you going to be?
And he goes, if you're anything, if you're the sheep or the wolf, and he takes his belt off and puts it down, I'll whoop your fucking ass.
Yeah. Oh, you got to be a sheep dog. If you're anything but the sheep dog, motherfucker,
I'll whoop your ass.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Watch it, man. It is from the very beginning, it's pure.
It
low,
really is. Like the way Mencia would talk
propaganda.
About how soldiers are on their dying breath. We're like, tell them, I'm just glad I got to see Mencia before I died. He was for real telling that story.
That's so sad.
He was for real telling that story.
Oh, that was a story.
Yeah.
When was this story?
He told I remember it going around. He telling people like, yeah, I met his like his fucking buddy in arms when he was dying. He was like, you know, I got married and everything did a lot of good things, but at least I got to see Mencia before I died.
Wow. Ari, I will
imagine if that really did happen, though. That's actually sadder. That's sadder than him lying.
Yeah, that's if it actually really happened.
Like, we're
that.
Assuming it didn't happen, but people are definitely dumb enough to do that.
No, you don't understand about the Punisher tour of 2006. It was magical.
Oh, my God.
Oh wow. My God. That's fucking hilarious.
His last words, you know, the guy would be like, but what about him stealing jokes? His last words, but he did it better. But he did it better.
But he did it better. Defending my country.
Man. Ari, I will give you $100,000 if on your deathbed you say, at least I got to see Mencia.
$100,000? You would really give him $100,000? And how would he use it? He's dead!
Oh,
this is a terrible fucking deal. You son of a bitch. Well, you won't need this, and I am one of your best friends, so just take these stacks back.
Expiration.
At least I can say I got that.
Yeah,
on your deathbed. Get it back. By the way, my storyteller show, This Is Not Happy, premieres this Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
With me, Bobby Lee, and Keegan Michael Key. And Duncan, we've done these extra stories that we're doing for the web only. They'll all be on YouTube, and Duncan's is premiering tomorrow.
That's right.
Duncan tells a cool story about going to...
Bad LSD trip.
Grateful Dead concert.
Is there a reason they didn't want to put that on television?
The reason is to book another white male was nearly impossible.
You had too many white males? Did you need diversity training?
Oh, yeah. There was like, who else can we get that's a little not that?
Wait, so you had to go out of your way? You had to go out of your way to look for non-white males?
Yeah.
So it's a Jerry Seinfeld type situation.
Yeah, they're like, look, we're just going to get too attacked if you don't get some
others.
We'll
get too attacked.
It's just like, bottom line, it was just like fucking...
Well, I mean, they're pissed about the Oscars?
They don't have to get half, but they just got to be representative.
That's so crazy.
They're pissed about the Oscars. It's all like, all white people.
Well, unless black people are being excluded.
Right.
Unless Asian people are being excluded.
Yeah, but I was like, we got Bobby Lee, Joey Diaz.
Yeah.
Those are both fucking ethnos.
But my problem is, like, you can't have affirmative action comedy.
Yeah.
You
can't.
You're going to ruin the whole thing. You can't do that. You can't, like, whoever's funny.
You got to say, yeah. But you can do it like this. Like, show me the pool of people that are qualified. You can show them 100 people. Like,
right.
make two of those. There's only 6 blacks that are qualified of those hundreds, but pick 2 of them.
I don't mind being on the internet. I love the internet.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I live, is on the internet. Right.
Well, those clips, they can be way longer, too, just like we did last year. Yeah. Completely, like, don't worry about any.
No, I love the one that you put, that we did, that was on the internet. It was great. It was fun. And this is actually before the show was even on TV. It's totally awesome to have something on the internet. I was just confused as to the reasoning for it
and
was.
And we also, because it came later, too, Eric, the guy who runs it with me, he was like, hey, let's do a web series. Like,
that's a great idea.
Do a web series. And that way, he goes, too, it's like, if we show some short ones, we want to bump somebody up, we can if they're a good short story.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Rothbart and with Miss Pat.
You know what, though, it's fucking awesome about the web, too? It doesn't get canceled.
Doesn't get canceled.
It's on anytime you want. Yeah. It's actually a way better medium for distribution.
Yeah.
Like, a YouTube channel is way better, especially now. You have YouTube on Apple TV, so you can go right to YouTube.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you can get YouTube on a lot of those little, you know, like Netflix
type
situations.
Yeah, so you can watch it on your TV.
Yeah, you can watch them on your phone. You can watch it anywhere you want. If it's on Comedy Central, you're going to be guaranteed a very large audience. You know, like million-plus audience of people sitting there watching, a lot of them that aren't even your fans. When you go online, you're going to get all of your fans.
Like, also, they watch it more intently. They see your name right there. It's way easier for them, like, fan-wise.
So, yeah, fan-wise.
That's why I told them, like, we want to do it on TV. And they're like, okay, but it's a no web. I'm like, no. Also, all those stories go on the web. Let's make a cool looking clip.
I couldn't tell a story about trying to buy acid in a parking lot on TV.
Exactly. Like, why even? Big J has one that's great about it's some sex and a dog is involved, and they're like, "You're not doing bestiality on here." We'll put it on the web though. And I'm like, "Fine, golden. I don't care as long
Isn't
as it's
hilarious?
Out."
I just think that's the way.
Yeah.
Like, if I get to choose,
Duncan said that. He goes, "I don't even want it. It's like, I'd rather be the wet." You can say whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, for sure. Because he called me and he's like, "Can we go through what your story is?" The idea being, if we can, like, maybe we can make it so it could possibly be on TV. And I said, "Oh no, I'd just rather not be on TV because I don't want to worry about that. I don't want to think about that, because the story I'm telling is a story about being in high school trying to buy drugs and in like just the worst / best acid trip I ever had in my life.
You don't even want to have to worry about someone going, can you make it sound a little less pro? Like, I don't even want to get into it.
Because I am pro LSD. Yeah. And the moment
they actually say that?
No, but no, you can see them maybe saying
that. But it could happen. You know, like,
no, in my special, I go, do more drugs.
Oh, good for you.
You should do drugs.
But you say specifically what drugs?
Uh-huh. Mushrooms and any sort of psychedelic. I'm like, there's nothing ever bad happen to you.
Jeb Bush gets in office, that could be an issue.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a statute. I mean, could it be an issue? Is that real?
No. Yeah. Oh, both of you, stop it. You're going to get ideas in their heads.
For sure. You're talking about Schedule I drugs. Comedy Central's heads? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You're not worried about the politicians
themselves.
No. I don't know,
Comedy Central,
I
don't be pussies. You guys are rebels.
I think with mushrooms especially, I think mushrooms, remember when marijuana was deeply illegal way back in the day?
Uh-huh.
And you'd fantasize with your friends about the idea of marijuana becoming legalized, and you could see that it could be on the horizon, maybe, but it was still kind of like, it's never going to be legal. It's a ridiculous dream.
Yeah.
I think mushrooms is the new marijuana.
Maybe.
I think mushrooms is going to, psilocybin is going to become a prescription medication that's given to people to stop smoking.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to happen.
Once they start realizing that there are medical benefits that they keep looking like they're proving, that it's like they'll try to separate it.
Ibogaine is a big one.
Thank God for Doblin, right?
Oh yeah,
he's a champion hero. That guy deserves a Nobel Prize for the work he's doing for psychedelics, because he's like doing super stringent, hardcore studies proving that many of these psychoactive compounds have medicinal.
Who is that?
Rick Doblin, from the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, MAPS. It's just they do these like real hardcore studies where it's undeniable. Oh, look, what do you know? Psilocybin helps long-term smokers quit. And when you compare it to Chantix, it's like the psilocybin is a million times better.
Yeah, it helps with my depression a lot.
Yeah, it does. It heals you.
Right. Changes the way your brain is functioning. You know, the paths that you're on. I think the paths you're on. Like, someone tried to explain this to me once. I've always tried to remember the exact way it's explained, but that we want to think of our moments as being moments individual unto themselves, but they're not. They're a chain of unique moments throughout your entire life, your interpretations of those unique moments. I'm paraphrasing the shit out of how this guy said it.
Yeah.
And then all of your associations with life itself that are connected to your interpretations of these moments, and then boom, here you are today. And you want to think that this is life, but it's only life because of all these pathways that you've carved in the way you view the world.
Cool.
As soon as you change those pathways,
you
open up a whole new world, because now you're associations are different, so now your brain's reaction to life
you're changing your route to work, and all of a sudden you're like, "Whoa, look at these doors! I never saw Robertson before."
You're changing your chemistry,
and it's such a great feeling whenever if that happens just slightly. Because a lot of people are in a cave-in situation when it comes to their lives; they're literally buried under a series of antiquated, stale symbols that they're looking at the universe through, and they feel trapped. It's like their shoes are too tight.
Yeah.
And if like a psychedelic or meditating too, and I really mean that, I'm not just saying that I really think meditation has a very similar effect, but any of these things, they reset those symbol structures in your brain. And if you just like, if you're in a cave-in and you get an extra inch compared to like being compressed against a wall, that's a big fucking deal, man.
Yeah. Oh, right. So it's slightly percentage difference change.
Just a slight change is like, oh, thank God I'm 13% less frightened than I was for my entire life.
Have you ever heard Tony Robbins talk about changing paths in life? He had a really, really interesting analogy. He talks about like you're going two cars going exactly the same, or a boat rather, two boats going exactly the same direction, but one boat just takes a 2-degree turn.
Mm-hmm.
Just 2 degrees.
Yeah.
As they go further down, the one boat that took the 2-degree turn is going to go wider and wider away from the original path. And that each decision that you make that's a good decision takes you closer. Like, even though it's just like you're just steering your ship just dirt, as you go out, it's going to be a much different path, a much different end than if you just stayed on the original path.
That's incredible. Yeah, I love
way
that.
Different.
And psychedelics yeah. makes you go right turn, Clyde.
Yep.
Whoa.
That's
I mean,
right.
Look at Amber
but then
Lyon.
The currents try to bring you back, though.
Yes. Well, ego thing. Tries
so you
to
go
bring
this
you
way,
back.
And the currents kind of bring you back to where you were going. So it's like got to take them again.
Well, I've
so
always
you can
said
sort of get off that current.
Yep.
That doing psychedelics is like pressing like the reset button for your brain, like
control, alt, delete.
Remember
yeah,
that
remember
bit?
That. Yeah.
That your desktop reboots, and there's only one folder on the desktop, and that desktop says the folder says my old bullshit. And you have two choices. Either you just like create a completely different desktop, look at reality as a completely different, or open up my old bullshit and fall back into these familiar patterns because they're very comforting.
Right.
You know, and those moments after the psychedelic experience are so important to grab and hang on to because it gives you this opportunity to make this new way of thinking like a part of your habit.
Yeah.
And once you get into habit, whether it's fucking, you know, the 30 days or 60 days or 90 days, like people say that once you like have a pattern ingrained in how you behave and think and do, it just takes a consistent approach to that pattern and then it becomes like a part of you. Like, that's why people that quit smoking, like, get past the first 90 days and you'll be all
right. Right.
Jews say when you have, if you go sit in the same seat three times, you should just keep sitting there. That's your new all-time seat.
Wow. That's smart.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense. It's like, when you take a psychedelic, it's like if your life is a polluted city. Like, what are those polluted, like, what's that?
Detroit.
Detroit, right?
Yeah.
Then it's like the psychedelic all of a sudden takes you in a helicopter outside the pollution. And so now you're seeing... Oh God, the air up here is so fresh. It's so nice down here. But the thing is, the helicopter's gonna land. It's gonna put you back out into your city, and that's where the job starts, which is like, shit, man, it's nice up there. How can I clean this fucking thing up? And then that's when you start doing things like exercising, meditating, or that's where you like create just a very simple intention in everything you do, which is as much as possible, I'm gonna try to alleviate the suffering of people around me as much as I can.
Yeah.
You know, that might not be a lot. It might just be
does that too. We got back from this last UFC, just a little bit of mushrooms was enough that I saw a homeless guy and he was like, and I opened my wallet and I only had 20s. And I was like, no, fuck it.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what it does. Yeah. In those little moments, man, it shows you that you get those moments present themselves to you all day fucking long. But if you are stuck in selfishness, you don't see it. Yeah. It's real simple little things, but it's fun. It's a very wonderful, that kind of simple intention can really depollute your subjective city that you've been sucking in shitty gas.
There was one time that I saw it the only time I was like I ever guide to somebody, but it was Willie Hunter was on him and he was shitting on Vine. He was shitting on some like comic who had become like a Vine star, you know. So she was a shitty comic, but she became like and he was like, I hate Vine. We're like, oh man, they're fun. They're 6 second like fun videos. And he's like, no, I hate him. We're like, what about a 6 second YouTube video? You'd watch that. Goes, nah, I don't, whatever. He was just being shitty. And we're like trying to talk about it. He couldn't stop. Then we started doing the mushrooms and he was like, I'm a bad person. And everyone's like, no, you're fine. And he kept doing it. And then eventually I was like, Willie, listen, you're right. That was you being a bad person.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm so sorry. But I was like, it's okay, because here's the deal. From now on, you don't have to be that anymore.
Yeah.
You can just let that go and let people talk. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And that's what it shows you. Like, you can change.
But that thing you're talking about where you realize, shit, I'm a bad person. That is, I can't remember the name. In Buddhism, there's an actual name for that. And it's considered to be a very sweet moment where you need that moment. Mm-hmm. It's fertilizer, where you need that moment where you look at your life and you feel this very specific kind of sadness because you look at all the times you could have been kinder, all the times you could have like called that person back, all the times you could have made decisions that were pushing your boat in the direction of a better world and you didn't do it. And you should feel sad about that, but you shouldn't spend your whole life feeling sad
it. Right.
You should just spend some time there and look at it and think, okay, well, that's gone. The past has been devoured by time. There's only this moment now. And so from this point forward, as much as I can, my decisions are going to be based on reducing the suffering of my species, and that means
pick up your trash. Just because you littered before doesn't mean you have to litter. Keep going forever.
Simple. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. The path of trying to figure out like what's the best way in life is obscured by law. Isn't that amazing? Like there's laws that they've created that make the best tools to find out who you really are illegal. Like, yeah. That's like, there's not a therapy in the fucking world that will get a crazy sociopathic, egomaniacal person to really look at themselves like a bag of mushrooms will. There's nothing.
Nothing. No, all those moments in film, like, whoa, I realize now. That's all bullshit. That's recreating a mushroom trip.
People that you know that are untrustworthy, that you can't trust their stories, you can't trust their like, those are the people that we all agree could have, like, the best experience on psychedelics because it'll give them, like, the best view of themselves.
Yeah.
But those are the same type of people that are going to argue against it. Like, if you ever talk to people that don't want mushrooms to be legal or don't want, like, oh, but fuck that. You think that should be legal? You'll lose your fucking mind. What about people who have lost their fucking mind on that? It's
and you're like, what?
Fascinating.
What people have lost their mind? What are you talking about?
Those
movies?
People. Yeah.
In the 40s?
Well, there's been some people that have blown their brains out with LSD for sure. There's definitely been some people that had some psychotic episodes. And it can be argued that a lot of those psychotic episodes are people who are control freaks or egomaniacs that are struggling with the reality that's presented to them.
Schizophrenics shouldn't try it. That's
fuck
my
yeah,
only
for
thing.
Sure.
People with history of schizophrenia in their family.
What about
and then
bipolar
that's
people?
It.
Yeah.
What about bipolar people? They probably shouldn't try it either. I mean,
yeah.
There's probably a whole slew of people who have abnormal human chemistry.
You know what else bipolar people shouldn't try? Caffeine.
Really?
They shouldn't take caffeine pills. Yeah, you shouldn't do anything that's going to push you into a manic state. It's like, we can't consider, you know, it's like the victim thing about people, the victims of psychedelics, you know, and I know you think climbing up, what is it, the
Everest.
Mountain, you think it's ridiculous, but there's a valley there called I just read about this on Reddit. I think it's called, there's an area, I think it's called the Valley of Rainbows, and they call it that because of the brightly colored jackets on the corpses that are all laying there dead.
Oh, really?
And I think psychedelics have the same kind of valley. I think that there is an undeniable valley that must be filled with people who've been pushed into psychotic episodes or who under the influence of a psychedelic made bad decisions, car accidents, all the things that come from irresponsibly using an intoxicant.
Drive.
You've got to admit that's real, but just because that is real doesn't therefore exclude all the people who are saying again and again and again and again,
I've had amazing times.
My relationships are better.
Same thing
my
with alcohol.
My marriage is healed.
Same thing with alcohol. It's like, all right, there's some drunk drivers. Don't drunk drive.
Yeah.
But, like, it's pretty fun to get fucked up with your friends once in a while.
You got
to
look at the whole fucking picture.
Fuck it up.
Look at the whole thing. Don't deny the fact that they're dangerous chemicals and that people have more than likely completely lost their shit because of them. Don't deny that. But then also, don't deny the benefits. In the same way with American Sniper, much better movie if that character was actually dealing with the fact that he's blowing people away in a war that has been shown to be based on bad information.
Don't you think that when you get to be as old as Clint Eastwood is, don't you think that your faculties have been compromised?
Yeah. He's
like
not
almost 100%.
He's not thinking the same way.
Yeah.
He was. He's not as sharp.
No, honestly.
And Million Dollar Baby was really good.
Yeah.
But this is not that.
What's also, it's the subject matter that he's prone to go into these, like, very right-wing.
And also, you probably get, like, you can't separate your deep feelings. He didn't have deep feelings about women boxers.
Exactly.
You know, but he had deep feelings about this, so it's got to be 100% rah-rah-rah. And it's like, all right, man, now you're not, even if you were younger, you still wouldn't be able to see this clearly.
It's like when someone talks, like, in their own words, and you get to hear them talk in their own words, you get a sense of, like, oh, I see why you created this piece of art. I see why this is your perspective. And when you saw that Republican National Convention thing, whatever the fuck it was, when he was talking
to
Obama, that's Clint Eastwood. He's so fucking crazy that he thought that up, like, on the spot. That was ad-libbed. Like, he didn't even have anything planned out. This fucking guy is giving this speech in front of this gigantic group of people. He's so confident in his ideas that he's going to ad-lib a conversation with Obama, complete with punchlines.
He comes from a non-video world, too, where he's like, meh, so what? It's a group of 1,000 people.
Well, he's also just
good, so
completely
what?
Confident
yeah.
in his position in life and who he is, and he's a movie star. He's been a movie star for fucking 100,000 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody's been kissing his ass long before the internet came along. He's also a guy that agreed to do a fucking reality show. Do you know that?
No.
Where his wife was in a reality show. His wife was in some crazy reality show, man. His wife, I don't know if they're still together. I think they might have got divorced. But she wanted to be a star. So she married Clint Eastwood. She was young and hot. And then she did a reality show.
Didn't know it.
Yeah, it didn't last. I'm not sure if he's still with her.
There's no real. There's it's no cool. Drama to it.
I looked up. I looked up an interview with Eastwood about directing the movie because I didn't understand how the guy at the Republican National
Convention were affected by this. Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, I was just like, oh wow, this is such blatant propaganda. They're not even trying to make it subtle. This is just like wartime.
They make
propaganda.
A movie out of it.
Yeah. That I was curious. Like, okay, I wonder how involved Eastwood was in directing this, just based on what I saw at the Republican National Convention. Didn't know it was improvised. So now that kind of explains it. I thought maybe. He was just suffering from senile dementia or something.
It was called Mrs. Eastwood and Company. It was on 2012. It was a reality show.
So what did the interview say, though?
Well, the interview was, you know, it was just him saying, like, he had actually been reading the book when they called, and he said, let me finish the book. I've got 40 pages left. And so I read it the next day and decided, you know, it was just a basic interview. But I just, it was... I was just so appalled by the movie.
That was her. She's pretty goddamn hot.
That's his wife?
It was his wife.
Yeah,
she divorced
him. Of course he would marry a super hot person.
She's hot as fuck.
He should.
Wowza wowza, son.
By the way, he's a goddamn movie star. Yeah, he is.
What do you expect?
Yeah, you can't really... Were
you going to say you also have something?
Oh, yeah. I also have a story that's out on YouTube now. My first story. They put it out.
Oh, beautiful.
Smuggling weed into Australia.
Oh, shit.
Oh, cool.
Don't talk about that online. What are you doing?
The beginning of it is... all right. Nice.
You should say this is all a lie. You just got done talking about how truthful you should be.
Well, I don't do it anymore.
Reality.
I don't do it anymore because the results of this story. So.
Yeah, but even then, you could be like admitting to an Interpol related crime.
No, I don't buy into any of that shit.
They're gonna they have every bag of garbage from the moment of time, and they have them like locked up by date, labeled, so that if you talk about something, they can go back to this warehouse and they go, "We found it. We found the bag. We got the wrappers. This fucking kid's on the pot." And
that
you brought those, they'll find your DNA from the wrapper, from your sweat. They'll isolate it, and they'll bring you up into some sort of tribunal the next time you try to go to Sydney.
Here's how little I care about that. Just YouTube search, this is not happening, Ari smuggles weed into Australia, and you can see it right now.
You are a gangster, sir.
You know, man, that makes me think of this movie that's coming out I'm really excited about. Timothy Leary's kid is releasing this movie about his dad and Richard Alpert, but it's got all this like footage.
Bradley Cooper plays Timothy Leary, I heard.
What's that?
Bradley
no, this
Cooper's
is a documentary. I missed it. God damn it. Sorry, Joe. Totally, that's such a slow ball, too. And I just fucking
that was
like,
a slow ball.
But, he was going to give acid to this kid, and he wasn't gonna, but then the kid picked up a Bible, so he gave the kid acid.
No, this would be.
We got to start making the real movies of these things.
That would be like their sniper moment.
Yeah.
Like, the kid is about to pick up the Bible. No. I can't do it. He gets the eyedropper and squirts it in the kid's mouth, and you see the kid's eyeballs dilate. The kid falls back into a kaleidoscope, and Sergeant Pepper's love.
Here's the real Jesus.
We help you.
That is what they do, too.
God.
They would do something probably worse, something more ridiculous than that.
Won't smart people be able to see through this? Yeah, that's not who's watching this, though.
Yeah, those sniper movies aren't really for smart people.
But it's cool to watch clips of Timothy Leary at the Senate hearings.
I apologize to my date.
It's cool watching him like having to talk to Senate about LSD. It's badass.
So he does.
You apologize to your date?
Yeah.
Why?
We were talking. I was like, I thought that would be better than I was. Sorry. Just a poor pick. I mean, you get to pick the next one.
That's hilarious.
Poor pick.
That's hilarious. There's a lot of stories about this. I'm getting a shitload of tweets of people asking me like to substantiate, but there's a lot of stories. It's all over online.
Him being a liar?
Well, the concerns. I can't say. I don't know who the fuck is right and who's wrong. I didn't do any research.
Except the jury decided.
The jury decided.
In this one case, that Ventura is right.
Yeah.
And then nothing else has been.
They owe him. They owe Jesse Ventura $1.8 million, apparently.
$1.8 million.
Good. Should be $1.9 million.
I say 1.7. 1.7 is fair. What the fuck? It's all so crazy. Man.
Yeah. It's never like 1.81374 million. Like, it's that exact amount is the pain.
How do they come up with it?
Narrowed it down to the closest 800,000?
That's a weird.
100,000?
It's a weird thing, man, to make a movie about a guy
who
might have been a liar. And put those lies in a movie, and that gets all America all frothy.
This is a true story.
I mean,
that means that, you know what that means. That means another fucking attack's coming.
Is that what it means?
Yeah.
What, do so you think it's all orchestrated?
Because we got to get people ready to join up.
I don't think
so. Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's better than a draft. I guess if you got to pick between a draft and
people
non-draft,
rebel against the draft.
If, yeah. like, if that means like ridiculous propaganda movies coming out every year, then...
You know what I think? I think you shouldn't... Yeah. No wars. We should fight no wars with anyone under 50. I think everybody who goes to war should be over 50.
World peace.
And let's see how quick we fucking settle this thing. I bet it would be pretty goddamn quick.
Oh.
A bunch of old people that just don't want any trouble. I mean, that
it was like, how can we? Is there a way to solve this without shooting them? It's like those cops
on the ground,
were like, he was coming
everything.
At me, and it's like, okay, but shooting him to death is the only way to stop a guy from
Every,
coming at you.
Because you think about the consequences
Trained
of the decision.
Officer?
Think about the consequences of a decision to fly in a plane to a place where you've never been and shoot someone you've never known. Based on the directions by some people who you don't know, who are making you march. They're making you go shum, 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 shum. They're making you do all this shit, preparing you for. You have to listen to them unquestionably.
We gotta come home.
But imagine that with 50-year-olds.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen.
Way. We're sleeping in the desert.
We're going to go, wait a minute. Why are we shooting these guys? Wait a minute. We're breaking down what door? Who the fuck are you? Who the fuck are you and where'd you go to school? Yeah. What's your degree in? And you're going to tell me about international politics? Do you even know these fucking Sunnis? What's the difference between a Sunni and a Shia, sir? Tell me what the difference is. Do you know? Do you know why these people are at war with each other? Do you know why they hate each other? Do you know why they hate us? Do you know this is Holy Land? Do you know how long this has been Holy Land? Do you know when they're. And you, if you had a group of 50-year-old people.
Go there and outslug it?
Sit down, soldier, when I'm talking to you. Yeah. Oh, you're loud, so I have to listen? Is that what's going on? Oh, you don't have anything to say, so you're just going to loud. Are you going to get in my face and spit? Is that going to make me intimidated? And so I'll listen. So I'll just go and kill some people that you say are bad. If we did that, if we just had only 50-year-olds and above go to war, the whole fucking thing would change.
Yeah.
The whole thing. It's just, it's easy to send fucking kids. They don't know any better. They say your cerebral cortex, your frontal lobe, they're saying, like, for young males especially because of the fucking influx
of
testosterone.
They're just like dogs. They're rowdier.
They're not making rational decisions. Like, when you're a 16-year-old kid, your balls are filled with testosterone. This is a completely new experience. By the time you've got to be 40 years old, you've had a lifetime of wanting to come. A lifetime of, like, knowing what that is and knowing how to mitigate it. When you're 17, 18, you don't know what the fuck is happening to your body. You add into that masturbation guilt, like people who are actually avoiding masturbation. Most of us don't, but there are some who do. So they try it as little
don't
as
they still
possible.
Put the white gloves on, well, on the Marines when they get caught masturbating. They put make them wear a white glove all
Did
around.
They really?
So, wasn't that a thing with Marines?
I would wear white gloves on someone who's not masturbating.
No,
that
shit,
motherfucker's gonna blow.
Yeah, white glove, white warning.
They should have a fucking one of those GoPros over your bunk. And if they don't see you beating off under the sheets, they can fucking ask you questions. Duncan, you want to come in here and talk to us real quick? You got anything on your mind? Like maybe pussy.
Yeah, no shit, man.
Pussy or booties or something on your mind? You're trying to keep boys' assholes
sir,
from.
I'm just thinking about killing right now.
Duncan, this is not the type of soldier we're looking for in this here army. We want well-balanced individuals that make rational choices based on the evidence at hand, not based on lust, not based on a ball full of cum just waiting to fucking jizz all over some new part of the world to spread your fucking seed.
My gun is my cock, the bullets are my jizz, and the brains of my the enemy. Mujahideen are my pussy friend.
Oh my god, in the movie they told him his best friend had died. They go, Jim's dead, bro. He said, bro.
Oh, God. Is it really this bad?
Bill died, bro.
You gotta go see it, man.
Oh, it's my awful. God. And you gotta get up and leave, but you're like, are you gonna call me un-American if I just think the filmmaking of this is bad?
That's how manipulative it is. Like, you want to walk out, but simultaneously you feel like you're being like,
you had to go 218 on this.
This is kind of,
you couldn't have done this in an hour 26.
Yeah.
218. It's kind of embarrassing if this turns out that this guy really did make up all this shit. Because there's another article I'm looking at right now about the criticism of the post-Katrina New Orleans story, like how it's all total horseshit, how they can prove it's horseshit because he wasn't even there at that time.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like there's a lot of horseshit. I mean, there's Facebook
and
pages.
In the movie, it's all he's just trying to downplay all of his legend, even though he's now it's like he's the one who was saying it.
Yeah,
they'll fry you for this if you're wrong. Good luck with your shot. I know
I'm not supposed to
help you out here, but they'll fry you for it.
Yeah, they'll fry you. Put you in Leavenworth.
Why aren't you looking? You're the spotter. Look, you helped him tell if it's an IUD or not.
Were you just crouching behind a wall? Just fucking up his shot. Or if you needed extra pressure on this.
There's a Facebook page. I'm not endorsing this. I'm just letting you know. That's dedicated entirely to the subject. And it's Chris Kyle was a murderous liar. That's
murderous.
It's a community on Facebook. And it's all a bunch of different posts saying that, you know, saying how much it was bullshit. This is crazy, man.
Yeah, I guess people don't want to. It's really hard for people to digest the simple fact that that war makes a lot of money for a small amount of people.
It does
make
money.
It's a profitable endeavor, and if you want to make money in that industry, then you've got to convince heroes. Because that is a heroic instinct. It's a really sweet impulse. The idea that I will give my life for you to protect
fellow.
You,
yeah,
to sure, protect people sure. I don't know. That's the one of the highest human aspirations. It's like an incredible thing. But so you take those people who have this incredible aspiration to give their life to protect people, and you lie to them,
yeah,
brainwash mm-hmm. them, and send them to a place to kill people based on this very incredible
noble thing. Yeah, they made Pat Tillman leave the NFL and fucking give his life.
And by the way, well, no, Pat Tillman did it on his own.
Yeah. But I'm saying, put it in his mind, yeah. Like, we need you to do this.
But Pat Tillman was a huge critic once he got over there. You know, he was killed by friendly fire. And there's many people that have speculated they murdered him. They murdered him because he wouldn't shut the fuck up about how disorganized everything was, about what a dog and pony show, and everything was fucked up. The people that he had to listen to were all assholes. He was like, this is crazy. Like, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I wanted. Like, there's total chaos, which led to this fucking crossfire situation.
It's Pat fucking Tillman. Yeah. Tell him to stop shooting.
And then they shot him.
They shot his whole troop up, though,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, look, when you start shooting things, that's the other thing. They become targets.
Yeah, and then say
they become targets.
They don't comment on drone mistakes. They don't comment on the times when it blows up a fucking wedding convention,
which is most of the time.
That's like,
there's more mistakes.
The innocence, and they're like, our policy is not to comment on that. Like, wait, why is that an allowable policy?
Yeah, the percentage is terrifying. If you look at the percentage of people that are actually killed by drones that are their intended targets. It's terrible.
Well, they shouldn't be terrorists, but they're not.
Surgical strikes.
Yeah.
How crazy is that? It's not a scalpel on the end of a fishing pole.
Yeah.
You know, it's the idea that surgical is retarded.
If we had drones going overhead, and then I found out who's responsible for it, Yemen, and I'm a little kid, and I'm like, this fucking Yemen drone that's over here killed my kid. It's like, goddamn right, I'm going to want to attack Yemen. Stop fucking sending that shit over here. It killed my father.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but.
Why wouldn't they want to.
If you look at we were talking earlier about what you were saying about these invading armies in Iraq and all the people that have PTSD and the birth defects, you got to go way back to the original Gulf War. They were using fucking depleted uranium, and everybody forgets about this.
Yeah.
Everybody completely sweeps this under the rug. It was proven they used depleted uranium shells that blew right through fucking tanks, this incredibly dense nuclear waste that poisons everything around it for, 100,000 years.
And
no
that
big
was 25
deal.
Years ago. We're expecting those 15-year-olds who are the 40-year-olds now to go, oh, well, I don't care anymore.
No big deal.
Yeah.
Forget about that time you killed my entire family.
Oh, and you're right here? Someone representing your government's right here?
Totally cool.
But it's something that we're not supposed to talk about, just like the ideologies that we discussed earlier, just like religion. It falls into a religion.
You got to talk about it.
Nationalism falls into a religion.
If you don't all start talking about it, then you can't
talk
about it.
You got to talk about it.
Well, it's also because, look, there are bad people.
You got to keep talking about it.
That's right,
why the weed, it's like, that's why it's all leaked, because everyone's like, oh, no big deal, right?
Exactly.
Talks about it, becomes normalized. You got to just talk about it at all times.
Exactly.
With your friends, with whatever.
And it doesn't mean that you don't. This is where people get confused. It doesn't mean that there aren't heroes, and it doesn't mean you don't need a defense. You don't need to be able to protect yourself from some fucking North Korean asshole if that guy decides to start taking over the world. Like, what if they had massive resources? We're lucky they're in a resource-starved environment.
Right.
So you have this communist dictator with nuclear weapons in a resource-starved environment where they have to shut the lights off at night because they can't afford to keep them on.
Right.
But if that guy had oil or gold or something crazy and like Saudi Arabia type money, if like one of those guys became some sort of a fucking world spreading villain, you need heroes. You need real soldiers that are willing to fight against bad people.
Yeah.
That's what happened in World War II, right?
Yeah.
In World War II, when you had the Nazis and all that, I mean, I'm sure
but
there's all sorts of
the
complexities.
Nazis, they used the justified war argument as proof to get us into sort of way less justified wars.
Absolutely. And what we were saying before about religion.
Was the best thing to happen to the U.S. Army.
Well, we're
saying, like, look, now we can do anything if we just say we're doing the right thing.
Exactly. It's exactly the same thing we were saying about religion. Yeah. Is that it's not that these people are bad people, and it's not that God is bad. No one's saying that, like, but what we're saying is, like, look what's being done in the name of this, and look how there's no thinking.
Right.
Whenever there's no thinking and horrific acts are being done, there's no thinking. If you're ever in a situation where a fucking little kid has a rocket launcher, everybody should stop what they're doing, get the fuck out of there, and try to figure out, A, how did this happen? No. And B, how do you fix it? And the way you don't fix it is by shooting kids. That right. doesn't fix shit. That's just like the mother, my baby!
You know what no the Oakland PD is doing now? Oakland PD is starting up like youth basketball leagues, and they're coaching and stuff so that the youth grow up not going, fuck the police, but like, no, the police are cool. They help us out and stuff.
That's a
and
great
idea. So it's
idea.
Like, look, we can't solve it right now, but 20 years from now, it'll be better than it is now.
Well, it's also, look what's happened in New York when they did the police slowdown, where they just wouldn't arrest anybody for anything after those two kids got, or those two cops got shot by that one guy.
Yeah.
That one guy who, by the way, also shot his fucking ex-girlfriend. Like, the guy was a piece of shit. Like, to people to think he's a hero. Like, Jesus Christ. He shot his girlfriend first, and then he went and shot those cops. He was a psychotic, murderous person. But because of that act, the cops backed up.
The cops finally started stopped fucking with people.
They need to stay where they're at, right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right where they are, right there.
Why are you
after
fighting against cameras?
Killed?
Why are you fighting against cameras?
I'm not saying that they should be scared all the time of being murdered, but I'm saying the attitude that they develop, like, okay, we're not going to arrest anybody for anything that's not important. That's all you should have ever been doing!
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
You're not a fucking revenue collector.
It's illegal to sell cigarettes outside, so tell them to get lost.
Or don't
you'll
do shit.
Take them down.
How about that? Yeah. How about you hire a fucking lawyer to go sue that guy, and then you find out he doesn't have any money, he's not going to pay you anyway. There's your problem.
Yeah.
You got a problem with tax collecting. You don't have a problem. If that guy robs somebody, then you bring in
the
cops.
They don't arrest people for jaywalking.
If he comes in and he breaks into your house and steals your TV, then you have the cops. But anything, any use of that other than protecting people, fucking choking a guy because he's not paying cigarette tax?
Yeah.
What the fuck are the cops?
Yeah, it's not like New York plunged into chaos because they started enforcing, stopped enforcing.
Write him a ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how much nicer the world would be if cops only acted in that slow down manner?
But they don't act like that with big black men. There's huge racism.
It would be incredible.
Yeah, they don't act that
way. You've been there over the last few months. You moved there like half the year. Yeah. What is your experience like in the difference between racism out here as opposed to racism
Well, everyone's
there?
All joined in. Here we're way more separated. But it's like, I don't think we see shit. Like, white people don't even see they're constantly getting like, you know what resisting arrest is? Resisting arrest is after the first time somebody's like, hey, let me see your ID, and they grab you and they push you. The second time the same shit happens, a cop pushes you. The fourth time they say, get out of your car, and they grab your wrist. And we go, come on, man. If you pull back, you've resisted arrest.
Wow.
I'm late for a movie. What? Let's just talk about this first. You've resisted arrest.
Right, and it's up to their discretion whether or not they choose to arrest you or don't arrest you. Some people get off on the exact same charge and they skate, whereas other people get arrested. Like if you're a white guy with a suit and you do a certain thing.
The stop and frisk was based on stop and frisk people, Latinos and blacks, who look like they might have some shit.
Right, you didn't see it on Wall Street. You didn't see them instigating stop and frisk on Wall Street.
So people on Wall Street weren't as outraged about it.
Stop and frisk for shit that shouldn't be illegal in the first
place.
Right,
so that's like illegal search. It's like saying we're going to just search you, but we have no reason to search you.
Well, it could have been weapons, right?
Yeah,
they were looking for weapons.
They're looking for, I mean, it's dope, man. They want to get you for dope.
Oh, right, then they'd arrest you for dope. Like,
that's
they're
what
looking
they
arrest.
They pretend they're
weed, huh?
What do you know? Something that grows out of the earth that helps cancer.
I'll be honest.
Stop seizures.
If I'm a cop and I don't like you and I see something, even if I don't think it's wrong, if I'm a 23-year-old, I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to put you in jail now.
Meanwhile, you
I don't
can
even
be
think
a
it's wrong.
Wall Street guy with a leather-bound briefcase that has your engravement of your initials and your family crest on it. They pull you over. They stop and frisk you. Pop open you see a bottle of heroin.
Uh-huh.
Heroin pills. But on that bottle has your name on it. They go, seems to match. Here's your heroin back.
You've registered.
You've paid your taxes.
Yeah. It's absurd.
The king got his price off this. You know how I know
doctor as well.
You know how I know that people would abuse their privileges based on stuff they don't even believe in? We have a comedians basketball league, and we're all playing. And since it's a rec league, they call technicals on curses and stuff. And so if you hear somebody
comedians?
Curse. Yeah, well, they don't know it's a comedians league. We just made our own comedians league. But if we hear somebody cursing, some other comedian, if I hear fucking Jeff Dye curse, I'm like, oh, he cursed! And we all try to get a fucking cheap technical. off shit that no comic believes cursing should be not allowed.
Right, but isn't that just for fun? Like, you're only doing it for fun.
Yeah, but we want the fucking benefit. We're going to abuse our power so we don't believe in. Of course, if you're 23, somebody goes, fuck you, cop. Like, well, I'll look at anything I can to put you in jail right now.
That would be like if we were playing pool and I go, oh, it's fucking shot. Oh, give me ball in hand.
Exactly, because I curse and you'd actually ask for it.
No, 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 dude, you got to give me ball in hand. Like, that would be such
a... Like, I decline that rule.
Douchey game. You guys do that playing basketball? You need to stop. You need to get on mushrooms and think about that.
Yeah.
Calling technicals on people.
I say, when they're technicals like that or not having your jersey, I'm like, we're comics. Nobody remembers to wash their jersey.
And it's only comics playing against comics?
We made our own league. So you have to have done an open mic at least to get on to come on thing.
That's hilarious.
Except we have one team. We call them the corporate sellouts, and that's all the agents and managers.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. You know what you should do? You should recruit really fucking good players and just get them to do an open mic.
That's what
just
Rick Glassman shit. That's what he does. And he gets them to do one open mic. Like, no,
that's
man.
That's all you'd have to
the
do.
The point is to play the game with comics. So we're all having fun.
Play the game with comics. Well, we used to have a comics softball league back in Boston.
Really?
Oh, my God. It would get so competitive. It was so crazy. It was like
competitive. Yeah.
People screaming at people over fucking fouls or where ball was in, the ball was out. You know, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I remember like people in each other's face, throwing their gloves down, screaming at each other. A comics baseball game.
Yeah.
But that's Boston, too.
Baby babies without their bottles.
I was back at Boston. They fixed that club. That Laugh
That's
Boston.
Great. That's
yeah,
great.
The sound system is awesome.
Okay.
You don't have to worry about it anymore.
Maybe on the autumn, then.
Because everybody had that rumor that was out that the sound system sucked. It's loud as fuck. It did feedback once when I got like on top of the actual speaker.
That wasn't even like, what I was talking about.
But that happens almost everywhere, you know, unless it's perfect. That's one thing the improv does. There's never a fuck up. If you're working an improv, like if the sound system's always perfect, the seating is always perfect, there's never sightline issues.
Right.
They don't ever fuck around. Like, you know some clubs that you work out, they're kind of funky? Like if you stand
like
on one...
stadiums where you can't even see fly balls.
Yeah, but clubs worse because there's often pillars in the room.
Yeah.
And if you're behind that pillar and you go to the right side, like the people that are behind that pillar literally can't even see you.
Yeah.
Like they're there, but unless they have to watch monitors in a club. The improv has that nailed.
Yeah.
Like they always say, like, nah, you got to set this up like that. Like all of them are like, nope, set it up like that. Like,
yeah.
Like this way.
It's got Todd Glass level approval.
Todd Glass.
Yeah.
That's like... Helium. Helium. He helped them design.
Oh, he did?
That place was great.
Yeah. Helium in Philly.
Listen, I got to go.
Can I say something real quick?
Absolutely.
I'm going to be doing a live Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast on the 25th, which is this Sunday in Dallas, Texas, and ticket links are at my website.
Good Lord, Duncan Trussell. A live Duncan Trussell Family
with
Hour
Johnny
in Dallas.
With Johnny Pemberton.
With Johnny Pemberton. Please tell me I can go.
That's cool.
Is it this weekend?
It's this weekend, this Sunday.
Go. Where is it?
I'm going to be in
Sweden.
That's
in Dallas, and then I'm doing Austin and the Come and Take It Comedy Festival, which is in Houston too. So
what is it called? The what?
The Come and Take It Comedy Takeover Festival.
Oh.
It's on my website. Nice. If you're in Texas, come out and see a podcast.
Yeehaw! And Comedy Central, This Is Not Happening premieres
this Thursday. Every Thursday at 12:30 after at midnight for 8 straight weeks.
Boom,
look
son.
Look at the openings. 8 different openings. The director's crazy.
Boom, cool. Son. And on top of that, the other videos are available all on YouTube on...
Yeah, go to This Is Not Happening on YouTube. Just enter that. They should all be coming up.
Good googly moogly, ladies and
Duncan's
gentlemen.
Will be out tomorrow. My new one's out today.
All right, I'm gone all week. No more podcasts. Go fuck yourself. Go Thanks, home. Everybody. See you soon. Oh, January 30th, I'm at the Mirage in Las Vegas. Again, back at the Mirage with Tony Hinchcliffe and Ian Edwards. So we'll see you then. All right. Much love. Bye.
Bye.